It's showtime.
Bob Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Probably won't believe this, but I've already done this part, what I'm doing right now. I've already done this, and I don't mean over the last 18 years. I mean like 3, 4, 5 minutes ago, I did this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, an update went through on my machine last night, and I did the restart, and by now I just expect Microsoft to screw up all my sound settings. So I carefully and patiently went back through and reset all my sound settings, so that, and I had good audio coming out of the Rodecaster Pro and out of the, through the microphone, and had playback and everything, and I missed one. I missed the sound setting. So that's the what the fuck Robin comment. I was looking. I never would have known. I probably would have gone 3 hours. Where is everybody? But I saw a comment from Sparky in the chat room. What the fuck, Robin? And then I looked over and, hey, there's no VU meters. I'm talking my fool head off and I'm not making nothing's had, no packets are passing. I mean, maybe packets were passing, but they weren't passing with any content in them or anything. Jesus! Well, I guess I'm the first Titanic Tuesday intellect nominee for this evening. Hi, I'm Robin. Yeesh. So, my sincere apologies. Let's go through this all over again. It is, in fact, Tuesday, the 20th day of July, 2021. This is the six-month anniversary of the Biden administration having saved us from the monumental horror that was the maladministration of Nitwit Nero. And, hey, look, the stock market gained back almost everything it lost yesterday. I'm sure that will bum the Republicans right the hell out, but they'll just have to, you know, pound sand and eat a bag of, right, chips. This program is live, and if you would like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific, and all time zones in the middle, and on either side in the great globe round. Well, just pop out earlier. What am I saying? I'm reading an email and talking at the same time. Sometimes I'm not very good at that. But just pop by headon.live and click on chat room and pick out a screen name and a password if you never have before, and you will be immediately greeted by the likes of 68AMC343 and Anatole and Jeremy in Vermont and Otto DeShot and Ralps and Roger in Oregon and Squeaky and Stockton Larry, the whole Mary gang is there, and more to come, I hope. And, of course, capably moderated by that dynamic duo of chat room moderators, namely longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, and his capable colleague, pinch-hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all-around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan. Hail, hail, the gang's all here. Yeah, I know, Flavio. My sound is fading in and out. And it's mighty annoying, Flavio says. You're not the one behind the microphone. But then again, you know, I do this. I do tend to move around. I don't know. Maybe we need to just sort of brace me into position. But there are many things going on here at the same time that require my attention. So I will beg your kind indulgence. Yes. Yes, indeed. Thank you, Steve. Sounds okay here. Thank you. It's go figure. But anyway, every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude. And like I said, I did this all already. Every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude. Let me check. What's the... No, base roll-off switch is good. Whatever. And so thanks go out to our 20th day of the month subscribers. That means thanks to Ralphs. And thank you, Vincent. Thank you to our buddy, Reverbo, the human boy, who just recently turned 70. Congratulations on your entry into the eighth decade of your life, my dear friend of long standing. Thank you, Dr. John in New Mexico. Thank you, Armand. Thank you to Unbillable Rick. Thanks again to Rico in the beautiful Berg, the sunny, beautiful Berg, for the Fuck Joe Manchin Redux Challenge of yesterday evening. Thanks to Max. Thank you, Max. That challenge was finished shortly after the program, and Max got us started on Monday's fundraising. So the overall fundraising goal is $585. $585 gets us current and keeps the bills getting paid and keeps the program on the air. And that's $285 for yesterday and $300 for today. So it'd be nice to knock some of that down. It's only Tuesday, and it'd be great if we weren't dug into some humongous hole come Friday on the front porch, because it would be fun. See, I just heard that. I just heard myself fade. It's like there's a, like I said last night, it's like there's some sort of a gate or something. I don't know. Got new springs on the, gooseneck, or on the, the boom, the mic boom. And maybe it's affecting the orientation of the microphone. I mean, I hear it going on, and it's driving me crazy too, Flavio. Absolutely batshit. Yeah. But thank you, everybody, and we will, I'll try to get some extra broadcasting in this evening, go a little past 8 o'clock so that we've got a, I hate that, so that we've got a full three-hour program. Get us started this evening, as is so often the case, the Shawshank Redemption. Per last night's conversation with Todd from South Carolina, who is one of Jeffrey's favorite conversationalists on the Horn, Joey writes, and the fact that the previous two journals featured the state of Massachusetts along with dead Kennedys, Jeffrey interrupts. Oh, no. No, please don't get the Massachusetts dead Kennedys mixed up with the punk rock group Dead Kennedys, and one of my favorite tunes from that San Francisco band was Nazi Punks Fuck Off. Rumors have it that Matt in San Francisco plays that song on a loop. All right, Jeffrey, that's enough. Please, no rumors. Okay, this is not a rumor. Russia's still dead. Well, anyways, per the Civil War conversation with Todd and the two references to the state of Massachusetts, it was this week in 1863 during the Civil War that Union troops spearheaded by the 54th Massachusetts Volunteer Infantry, made up of black soldiers, went into battle. These brave men charged the Confederate-held Fort Wagner on Morris Island, South Carolina stand. Unfortunately, the Confederates were able to repel the Northerners, who suffered heavy losses. The 54th commander, Colonel Robert Gould Shaw, born to a prominent abolitionist family, had accepted command of the 1st All-Black Regiment in the Northeast, also died in this battle, and was buried in Charleston, South Carolina. Yesterday, we mentioned that President George W. Bush announced his choice for Federal Appeals Court Judge John G. Roberts, Jr. to replace Sandra Day O'Connor. However, Roberts ended up succeeding Chief Justice William H. Rehnquist, who died in September 2005, and Sammy Citizens United Alito followed O'Connor. That's also Sammy Shoot the Black Kid who's running away and poses no threat to an officer. Shoot that black kid in the back of the head. That's okay by Sam. Jeffrey is engaging in some dark thoughts. I just find it very interesting that these very conservative justices on the Supreme Court, such as Roberts, Alito, Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, Coney, COVID, Barrett, and especially pre-clearance Clarence Thomas, are all upset about people of a certain persuasion voting. Yes, they insist that all of those of a dark persuasion have proper identification, but they don't seem to want the people with all the dark money to have any identification. Oh, that's quality, Jeffrey. I hate to sound surprised, but that's good for, yeah. Oh, by the way, and speaking of the Roberts Court, a.k.a. the Robber Barristers Supreme Court, they made a ruling this summer I didn't know if Robin touched on, but basically the ruling no longer allows, and I'd mentioned that we were going to try to get to this last night. This is a hell of a thing. I mean, this is the kind of thing you would expect the court that gave us Plessy versus Ferguson to have written, and probably did write something similar to it, because back in the day they were all worked up about an invented concept called privity of contract, which was a bullshit way of just trying to keep working people from being able to organize and withhold their labor until they were paid a living wage. This is Cedar Point Nursery versus Hasid. There's a law in the state of California that says that when farm workers are on their off hours, because they often have to live on the farm properties themselves, when farm workers are on off hours, union organizers can visit and organize among the farm workers. Well, this aggrieved Cedar Point Nursery. And using the same tormented logic that brought us over a century ago the bullshit concept of privity of contract, the Supreme Court of the United States, in an overlooked case held by a 6-3 majority, because remember, you might get a little gay rights thing here and a little bit of a, maybe a smidgen of COVID sanity there. But in the end, they will rally around the capitalist flag any time they perceive a threat, and that's exactly what they did in this case. The Supreme Court held that no, California's statute, this was passed by the California legislature, enacted into law, signed by the governor, the whole works. They said the California law is unconstitutional because telling employers, farm employers, that they have to let a union organizer on the property to visit in the homes of the workers when they are not in working hours, they said that was an unconstitutional taking of property, and struck down the California statute. So now, since the farm workers are largely stuck on the farms and can't get out that much, well, there's not much chance of the union being able to organize them now, is there? As Joey points out, Roberts' ruling is so extreme that he wrote that the right to exclude was one of the most treasured property rights, and that property could not be invaded without compensation to the owner. What this means in practice is that even if the government wanted to compensate Cedar Point and all the other factory farms, the cost to the taxpayers would be prohibitive. The decision effectively nullifies the government's ability to enable union organizers to access to labor at its place of work. So add this to the list of things that Congress needs to address with federal legislation in order to overturn the wild-eyed, conservative, reactionary, judicial activism of black, unelected black robe judges legislating from the bench. It's disgusting. According to legal analysts, here are just a few examples of, and wait a minute, wait. The right to exclude was one of the most treasured property rights. You got that? You mean the right to exclude people of color from lunch counters, justice, balls and strikes? The right to exclude Americans from the voting booth, justice, balls and strikes? Yeah, that is the kind of rights that he treasures and Republicans treasure. But Joey notes, according to legal analysts, here are just a few examples of where this could lead. Anti-discrimination laws take employers' right to exclude workers of color, pregnant workers, and LGBTQ+ workers as well. It could lead to fair housing laws and landlords' right to exclude renters of different national origin, color, and familial status. This could lead back to old school segregationists who argued that they could not be forced to serve customers of color at their lunch counters. Just like today's Christians argue that they have some sort of morally driven, religiously derived right to refuse to sell a pizza to a gay couple. We need to add to the Supreme Court, Joey says, and put a stop to these robber barristers of the Supreme Court so that Robert Gould Shaw's Regiment Army Infantry did not die in vain. And with the nightcap, here comes Jeffrey. We need a real Shawshank redemption of this Robert's Court. Mm-hmm. This has been Joey's Journal for the 20th day of July, 2021, with Jeffrey courting some new members of the highest court. And so, there is a $10 Shawshank challenge on the table. Thank you, Joey and Jeffrey. If that is met, we will be down to $5.65 to come up even this far into July. Yeah, the Cedar Point case, Steve in New York points out, yeah, that's originalism at work. No, we're not. Yeah, I guess we know if he'd been down there returning fire at that battle in South Carolina, we got a pretty good idea which side old balls and strikes would be on. You know, wearing the butternut, fighting to the death for the right to exclude human beings, the treasured property right to exclude human beings of freedom. Right, yeah. But it is Titanic Tuesday here, and a cowbell. Billable Rick has awarded a cowbell for the title of Joey's Journal, namely the Shawshank Redemption. I agree. And so with this Titanic Tuesday, yeah, we're going to be right busy. Because, as Ron in Raleigh notes, another billionaire launched himself and millions of ill-gotten dollars into space. Big whoop. How about a straw poll to see which of these money-grubbing SOBs we'd like to see stay in space forever? No, really. Jeff, out the airlock. Bye. I'd like to address something about Bezos' flight. On board was Wally Funk, an 82-year-old woman who was among the first women to try out for astronaut training. Of course, she never got the chance to take part in a flight in the 1960s. I'd like to talk about Ed Dwight, the first black man chosen to be an astronaut. Mr. Dwight is a world-renowned artist and sculptor, still alive and running his art studio in Denver at 86 years of age. At every turn after being chosen to be in the astronaut training program, Ed was thwarted by the powers that be to keep him from actually going to space. Chuck Yeager complained that he received special preferences to be allowed in the program. The Kennedy brothers pushed NASA to make the astronaut program more diverse, but NASA felt differently. After JFK was assassinated, Ed Dwight was shown the door. Do you think racism might have played a part in his misfortunes? How come Mr. Dwight wasn't asked to fly on Bezos' vanity space flight? I keep having to remind myself that America is not a racist country. Is remind the right word, Ron? Might that word you're looking for actually be delude? Because I think you have to be delusional to think this isn't a racist country. The right to exclude, Steve in New York points out. You know, it's not in the Constitution, but it is in the Constitution. It's in the Constitution. Exactly. So, there's a lot there. Correct me if I'm wrong, but we've been flying into low Earth orbit for a while. I think it was 1961 when Alan Shepard became the first person in the first American in space, the second person in space behind Yuri Gagarin. And 10 years later, Alan Shepard, Navy pilot, walked on the moon. He was a hero of mine. But just flying it, the only thing that was special about what Bezos did was the fact that an American corporation did it in a space vehicle that seemed And I don't think this is any sort of, I don't think this is chemical on my part, but it certainly did seem to be shaped very much like a penis. In fact, we could call it the Jeff Bezos dick ship. It couldn't have been any more silly looking had it been the flying big boy from Austin Powers. And so now, one of the things that most annoys me is that Jeff Bezos, the guy who will soon be a trillionaire, who was nothing more than a passenger, well, I mean, he was a guy sitting in the back seat of a cab. And now he's being referred to as an astronaut. Asshole not? Well, judge that for yourself. Yeah, good on the people who got to fly up there, but they're not astronauts either. At least, you know, at least Wally Funk got some training. At least she was trained to do that job. But Jeff Bezos, and, oh, no, Mr. Bezos, sir, you just sit right back there in the back seat and put your seatbelt on and hold on tight and don't touch anything. That is not astronauting. It's my spaceship. I get to ride it first. I mean, how very 5 years old of him. And so now we've got two billionaires who have made it into space. Yay. Pardon me while I pop the cork on a bottle of champagne vinegar. Oh, that just gets all over me like a dose of salts, and obviously it did. Ron, as well. Ugh. But there's something that, kind of, in talking about Ed Dwight, there's another story out there for this Titanic Tuesday. Well, let's note this. Elizabeth Warren zinged the bejesus out of Jeff Bezos. Because Jeff Bezos said, well, I'd like to thank every Amazon employee. I'd like to thank every Amazon employee and every Amazon customer because you guys paid for all of this. That certainly was a dick thing to say, wasn't it? Then again, he rode into space on a giant dick. But Elizabeth Warren noted, Jeff Bezos forgot to thank all the hardworking Americans who actually paid taxes to keep this country running while he and Amazon paid nothing. Truth. And to back it up, there's a report out from ProPublica, who does real journalism. And in that report, ProPublica noted that Jeff Bezos didn't pay a penny in income tax for 2 years. He got a $4,000 tax credit in 2011 that was supposed to go to families making under $100,000. Amazon itself paid no income taxes in 2017 or 2018. And just as a reminder, Elizabeth Warren supports the Ultra Millionaire Tax Act. And if you've got, if you're a household of more than $50 million, poor baby, only $50 million. Get this. I tell you, she's such a communist. Households worth over $50 million to $1 billion would pay wait for it. The tears are going to flow. Poor dears. I don't know how they'll be able to, afford their saffron-encrusted, pearl-dusted lobster lunches. Because if you're worth $50 million to $1 billion, you'd get 2% tax added onto your bill. 2%! But the suffering doesn't end there. No. Because if you're worth over $1 billion, confiscatory taxation. If you're worth over $1 billion, you'd have to pay a 3% tax. That's the Ultra Millionaire Tax Act. Now, I guess this is where the sting comes in. Because if Elizabeth Warren's ultra-millionaire tax was a matter of law, he would have had to pony up $5.7 billion in taxes last year out of a net worth of something approaching nearly $1 trillion. Think about it. If the only thing Jeff Bezos had to do for the rest of his natural-born days was to count his fortune $100 bill at a time, he would probably have to live the lifespan of Methuselah to count it all. Ugh. Lee in New York points out, Bezos will push for a tax credit for the chronically bald. Hey, Lee, easy on the bald stuff. There are people who are triggered and made sad by that. Then again, I guess there are some people who are turned on by that. Or maybe it's the money. It's the money. Steve in New York says, I don't know if you saw this passage I wrote on Facebook, but this is what a space program is about. I had a person from Silicon Valley ask me what I thought of this whole space shit, and particularly SpaceX. I told him I didn't like it. I'm sick and tired of everything being monetized. I had pride when we had a space program like NASA. I remember when the space shuttle first launched. Think about the Mars landers. There's no practical reason we had a space program. It was what is called pure science. It's knowing for the sake of knowing. Does discovery of the Big Bang or the ever-expanding universe or dark matter or the nearest star with planets orbiting around it or Voyager entering interstellar space or exoplanets have any practical application? Maybe, probably not. It's the quest for knowledge for the sake of knowing. It's about the origins of the universe, how we got here, where we're going. That's what science is about. And that is why so little science is of the pure variety, Steve. Because in capitalist world, if you can't make a buck off of it, it ain't worth doing. And in fact, that's how we justify so much of the space program and generally, NASA, the Apollo moon missions. Well, look, we got digital watches out of that. Yeah. I mean, well, we got the computer revolution. We got digital photography out of that. We never wouldn't have had it if we hadn't gone into space. Ars gratia artis and space gratia spaces or something. Under the subject line, Ronnie 666, David in South Carolina stands notes, why did we have to privatize space exploration? Why did we have to privatize prisons? That's right. Because money. David continuing and pointing out, you know, Bezos awarded Van Jones $100 billion because he admired Jones's hairstyle. Just wait a minute. Yeah, I know. Lee says, classification, Bezos will push for a tax credit specifically to benefit himself. No insult intended. by the way, Yul Brynner was not considered attractive. Well, somebody had to. I'm sure his mama loved him. And others. No, there were people who thought he was sexy as hell. I am thinking this Moses shall have been a fool. Moses, Moses, Moses. Yeah. So, you know, billionaire, there, that too. Yes, yes, because I remember the line from the Coneheads movie. Tang, the space program gave us Tang. I love Tang. You know what was really good? Hot tea with Tang when you weren't feeling particularly good. I got a lot of that as a child. Tea and Tang. It was something my grandmother discovered. You know, instead of just dumping sugar in your tea, you put a little Tang in, and wow, it was perky. Yeah. But to go back to this business of what Joey and Giraffe were talking about a little bit ago, there's something going on in Texas, but you know that, of course. Beyond trying to make sure that the wrong people don't vote, and you know what Republicans mean when we say the wrong people. I don't mean we Republicans, but I mean we know what Republicans mean when they start limiting it. Right. Well, the Texas State Senate has passed a bill, and the heroic Texas Democrats, outnumbered and outgunned though they are, well, they can still raise hell when it's time to do so. The Texas State Senate has passed an education bill that will remove virtually every reference to color or ethnicity from the mandatory teaching curricula, which is without a doubt bad enough, but it was not, in fact, enough. The vote was 18-4 in the Texas Senate. And integral to what they were passing was removal of a requirement in the Texas teaching curriculum. Get the hockey puck. You're going to bite right through on this one. The Texas Republican Senate wants to make sure that it is no longer a requirement in Texas public schools to teach that the KKK, the Ku Klux Klan, the Klan, those murderous domestic terrorists and merchants of horror and death. Well, if the Texas Republicans get their way, it will no longer be required to teach in Texas that the KKK is morally wrong. Quotes around morally wrong. Because that is presently codified. And among other things, the bill says that you can't that educators cannot teach that, quote, one race or sex is inherently superior to another race or sex. Funny how they avoided the word gender there, isn't it? This has nothing to do, however, with being anti-racist. Oh, no, not even a little bit. This means that you also can't teach that one ethnicity has traditionally been subjugated by another ethnicity, which means that essentially you can't even teach the history of racism. But that wasn't all. Not at all. They also cut out of Texas educational requirements that there has to be at least a lesson on the speech delivered by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. in August of 1963 that is commonly referred to as the I Have a Dream speech. Nope, that's out too. And so is the work, the heroic work of the great labor organizer Cesar Chavez. You also can't teach in Texas, according to this proposal. You can't teach about the feminism of Susan B. Anthony. So that pretty much means that the struggle for women's suffrage gets sent down the memory hole in Texas Stan. Texas Democratic Representative Jarvis Johnson went on to Twitter and said, here's why Governor Abbott added critical race theory to the special session. He doesn't want our kids to learn that white supremacy is morally wrong. You read that right. We must trust our teachers. We must defend the truth in our classrooms. Texas Senate Bill 3 does the opposite. And now that bill will go over to the Texas House, which will be unable to do any damn thing about it because the House Democrats in Austin decamped for Washington, D.C. beyond the long arm of the Texas Rangers. I don't care how many muddy hoof prints they drink out of, they're not going to be able to cross over and get to Washington, D.C. and drag them back home. Julian Castro said, Greg Abbott trying to erase MLK Jr., Cesar Chavez, and Susan B. Anthony from the Texas curriculum and recast the KKK as the good guys. This is an assault on history, and it must be stopped. Meanwhile, in D.C., both Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, and pencil-necked geek Tom Cotton of Arkansas. Dude, his neck is longer than Giraffe's. I kid you not. And it's about the size of a pencil. They've introduced legislation to forbid the teaching of the critical race theory in the federal government, all across the land, in America, under God. I wish I was kidding, but I'm not. And you know, they lack so much in the way of introspection, or even clarity. Hi, clarity. But these godforsaken Republicans don't understand that by pissing and moaning about critical race theory and about and manifesting openly and plainly their desire to throw real history down the memory hole, their objections to critical race theory, which, by the way, is a law school topic and at best a master's degree level topic. It's not taught in kindergarten or elementary school or middle school, high school, or in most instances, even in, undergrad, college. It's just not. But when they hoot and they bark and they grunt and they groan and they squeal and they shriek about critical race theory, they prove the necessity of teaching it. Ugh. It's just terrible. And I got to see here if I can find, because I've got something that goes to the heart of the matter. I'm on. No, it's not going to work. I've got a fantastic piece of audio that's just perfect to the situation. Ooh, I think I can find it. Here we go. That ain't it either. Well, rat fart. The bottom line, though, is, yeah, they don't want to teach anything that isn't white and isn't benign. You know, they want to teach, you know, love America, but they don't want to teach any of the, you know, the sketchy, skeevy, dodgy parts of America. I really would love to play this piece of audio. Maybe we'll get to it in a minute. Maybe I'll sort it out. But in the meantime, Ron in Raleigh asks, do you think, I'll bet you real money that they'll be teaching that bullshit Remember the Alamo fairy tale to the last man, my historical ass. Yeah, no, there was a lot of suing for peace and a lot of begging and pleading. And conservatives, generally Republicans, nationally, and God knows Texas Republicans, hate to be told that, well, the best evidence we have is that David Crockett died on his knees begging for his life. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, shoot a letter down to Greg Abbott, Steve, in New York. I'm sure he'll jump right on board. Steve in New York says, we need to ban Homo sapien and thespian history. Mm-hmm. Jesus. Oh, by the way, back to Jeff Bezos counting his money. Counting $1 per second every day, 24/7, 365 days a year would take you 31,710 days, or 86.9 years to count $1 trillion. Steve in New York has done ciphered up. So, does that mean if he was counting $100 every second, we could knock that back to, would that take it back to 0.86 years? That he could, if he had $100 bills and he counted one every second, he could be done in a year? Wow, I was wrong. I guess $1 trillion isn't that much money. Oh, dear, I didn't know that, but I'm perfectly willing to believe it. Ron in Raleigh says, there was a parody of the Flash Gordon movie. You remember the one with the Queen soundtrack? Flesh! Oh! That one? Yeah. No singing. We got a $585 fundraising hole to fill. But it was porno parody, and it was called Flesh Gordon. Guess what the spaceships looked like? Yeah, I know. Yeah, they looked like, the Bezos Mobile. How nice. Yeah, right. Jesus, of course. Because, well, Idiocracy is a documentary. Just out of morbid curiosity, Megan writes, what kind of mental gymnastics do you perform to have the KKK be the good guys in history? No, really, how the fuck do you do that? Well, just jump in the Wayback Machine, Megan, and go back to about, 1916, 1917, I forget when the film came out, but remember the first movie ever shown in the White House to a sitting president, well, that president was Woodrow Wilson, and the first film was Birth of a Nation. the novel from which Birth of a Nation was taken was called The Klansman. And, well, we're 100 years plus on, so spoiler alert. In the movie, the Klansman is the good guy. That's how sick and twisted this comes. But of course, we're not going to teach that in Texas either, right? And Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, said, critical race theory is a Marxist ideology that sees the world as a battle not between the classes, as classical Marxism does, but between the races. Go back to Cancun, Ted. I mean, I'm sorry to do that to the people of Mexico, but really, we kind of need a break here. You horrible, no good, bad, really terrible, awful human being. You. Anyway. So by all means, don't sleep on this one, because this is going to be all these, you know, one state does them, and then in the Confederacy, you know, right wing America, they become fads, they become trends. I'm still waiting, frankly, for the state of Talabama to figure out that Helen Keller was a communist at one point. Certainly a supporter of radical left unionism, and then she mellowed out and became a socialist. I mean, really, do conservative, good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Christian Republicans in Talabama, do they realize that there's a socialist on the back of their state quarter? And that, in fact, there's a statue of a socialist in Statuary Hall in the Capitol for Alabama. Alabama, you know, nobody forced this on Alabama. Talabama chose to have America's First Lady of Courage, Helen Keller, represented as a statue in Statuary Hall. Well, I mean, she wasn't that kind of socialist. Yes, she was. Then again, Talabama, being as conservative as it is, maybe they thought she was a national socialist. You know, because they hang on to the socialist in national socialism, which is Nazism. They hang on to that like a starving dog, a starving junkyard dog hangs on to an old bone. Busy, busy, busy. As Kurt Vonnegut pointed out. And I thought of Kurt Vonnegut today. Our pal Joy in Ann Arbor was pointing out that, yes, in fact, Jeff Bezos's rocket ship looked like a big dick. And that reminded me of a short story that Kurt Vonnegut once wrote. They refused to publish it. He did a lot of writing for instance, Cosmopolitan magazine, as Vonnegut would later put it, back in the days before it became a shockingly frank sex manual. Cosmopolitan published a lot of really good short fiction in the day. And so Vonnegut tried to, he trotted it around, seeing if anybody would bite, because this was the 1950s, and the answer was no. He wrote a short story called The Big Space Fuck. And they probably would have taken it, except for, you know, they could have changed the title. Publishers can do that. But the real reason that they refused to publish it, Vonnegut would later say, is because it contained the first literary use, to the best of Vonnegut's knowledge, of the word jism. No kidding. And I think Vonnegut was actually kind of proud of that. And good for him. Of course, his fictional hero writer Kilgore Trout often published in a published his fiction about the Trout Famadorians and whatnot in a porn magazine, an imaginary porn magazine that Vonnegut created called Black Garter Belt. There is so much joy to be had in reading the oeuvre of Kurt Vonnegut. What a genius he was. Uh-oh, siren. Of course, I'm sure they won't be teaching Kurt Vonnegut in Texas either. The good, God-fearing people of Texas have the right to send their children to school knowing that their children will not come home from school and ask that terrible, terrible question, Mommy, what is jism? Yeah. And on this Titanic Tuesday rolls. We're still at 585, to the best of my knowledge. Let me check PayPal real quick. Yep, we're still at 585, and trying to get Monday funded. It would be great if we could do that. The good guys, Ron notes. Of course, the Klan were the good guys. They were there to protect the flowers of white Southern femininity from the vile attentions of the lustful Negro set free by the tyrant Lincoln to ravage at will. And that really was a recruiting poster back then. It was a Confederate recruiting poster. Men, to the, rally to the flag! You know, not the American flag. Rally to the flag because the Yankees are going to come down here and fuck all our women. Notice all the emphasis on the possessive there. Our women. As in chattel. Right. And because it is Titanic Tuesday. Oh, let me check in here. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We have a Titanic sighting of that Titanic intellect. Mo Brooks, less brains. I wish I was kidding, but this story was really published in AL.com, the legitimate journalistic news outlet for the Birmingham News, etc., in Alabama. Down at Fort Rucker in Alabama, they've issued an order because Alabama is being burned up by the Delta variant of COVID-19 because the state of Alabama remains tragically unvaccinated. I haven't seen that their number has gone up much beyond the 33.1% rate that made them last in vaccinations in the entire country. That's right, they fell behind Mississippi, and for once they're proud of it. Mo Brooks, Les Brames, declared that soldiers who don't want to be vaccinated are being discriminated again. Mm-hmm. Because Fort Rucker says, the command there at Fort Rucker says, listen, if you haven't had a vaccine, you have to wear your mask, and that is an order. Well, Mo Brooks, Les Brames said, our soldiers should not be intimidated or cursed by the government into taking a experimental shot that has death and other ill effect risk associated with it. This he actually put in a letter to President Joseph R. Biden. He did so in response to General Order Number 12 of the commanding officer of Fort Rucker, soldiers and civilians have to wear masks unless they can show proof of vaccination against COVID-19. And here's the reasoning, if you can call it that, for Mo Brooks' Les Brains assertion. They're discriminating against naturally immunized military personnel at Fort Rucker. Naturally immunized. Shh, don't tell Mo, but there's no such thing. Yeah. But that wasn't enough, because he is, in fact, a Titanic intellect. And he went on to say, masks have small fibers that regularly loosen and are lodged in users' lungs. And some masks have inks and dyes, which, when consumed by lungs, no, really, I'm not adding anything to that. Lungs consume things. They've got sharp, nasty teeth. Some masks have inks and dyes, which, when consumed by lungs, have no unknown cancer and other health risks. An actual member of the United States House of Representatives, of course from Alabama, has said that you can catch the cancer from wearing a mask that you're wearing to keep from catching the Rona. We know for a fact that the masks can protect you somewhat against catching the Rona, and especially against spreading the Rona. On the other hand, however, there is no data whatsoever to show that that lungs, which are just apparently terribly fond of gobbling up, gobbling up mask fibers. Nom, 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 nom. Yeah, give you mask cancer. What? Certainly, all or almost all masks reduce oxygen intake into the human body with all the risks this imposes. There is also the unknown risk. And see, it's those unknown. You know why they're unknown, Mo? Because they're non-existent. There's also the unknown risk that in the heat and stupidity, in the heat and humidity of summers in the South, heat stroke risks increase among mask wearers. President Biden, you need to respect the rights of our military personnel and allow them to make their own informed decisions about their health care. America's men and women's in uniform fight for the very liberty, and freedom Fort Rucker's leadership denies them. This is un-American. Whether or not to choose to receive a vaccine should be strictly between the patient and doctor after weighing. Wait a minute. No, really, he did that. Oh, my God. Should be strictly between the patient and doctor after weighing the benefits and risks, just like those whores who want to kill the babies that are in their womb places. I added that part. Nowhere in the phrase doctor-patient confidentiality is the word employer included. Or federal government, for that matter, Mo, but that hasn't stopped you from voting aye on every piece of bullshit, insane, lunatic, anti-abortion legislation that's ever come down the pike. Oops. Well, a little clarification going on here. Jeremy in Vermont says, my lungs love to consume fresh, hopefully clean from COVID air. Even the fibers are better than consuming the Delta variant, which only takes seconds to take hold. Sheesh, I have to consume more air now. I know. And Arthur says, first they came for our white women, and now they're coming for our guns. Wolverines! Sparta! This is Sparta! White powder! Or power! Here! Yeah. Smooth. And as to Kilgore Trout, exactly. Robert in Australia, in even more isolation than ever. Yeah, no kidding. For a moment there, Robert says, I thought you were going to mention Venus on the Half Shell by Kilgore Trout. The spaceship in that was a long tube with two large spherical tanks at the rear. A book worth reading, just for the last paragraph. I remember, you know, I remember being a, well, early adolescent, and seeing that on the bookshelf at Anderson's Bookland on Court Street in downtown Florence. I need to, I think maybe after the program, I'm going to see if that's available on Amazon, on Kindle. Thanks for the reminder, Robert. That was probably originally published in Black Garter Belt. This is good. Suman with a note, subject line challenge. In June, New Zealand and India competed in the final of the first Cricket World Test Championship. 10 countries qualified, participated, and played against each other for 2 years. 2 years? On a point-based system. The final lasted 5 grueling days. It was a fantastic match. Sadly, at least to me, India lost and New Zealand won. Here's the interesting thing. There's a player in New Zealand named Kyle Jamieson. He's 6'9" tall. Let's round that up to 7 feet. He took 7 wickets in total in the course of 5 days. In the first innings, he took 5 wickets. The Crick Info website tracks win-lose probabilities and updates them periodically. After he took those 5 wickets, India's probability of winning was reduced to 35%. 7 times 5 equals 35. In the second innings, he took 2 wickets, reducing India's probability of winning to 28%, another multiple of 7. Swear to God, Robin, every time this 7-foot manifestation of whispering death ran down the track to bowl, I could hear the whoosh through the TV as the ball inevitably found its target. Towards the end of the movie, The Last of the Mohicans, Daniel Day-Lewis runs across a mountain hacking his enemies to death. This guy reminded me of that character. In light of his excellent performance, I would like to put forward a $35 challenge. I'll contribute $17.50. If someone matches $17.50, I'll contribute another $17.50, bringing my total to 7 times 5 equals 35, mostly because it felt like someone kicked me 5 times in the nuts every time he took a wicket. Ow! And yeah, so the it's kind of the reverse of baseball, isn't it? Because the batsman is actually protecting the wicket, and the goal is to knock the wickets down. Right? Have I got that part? Oh, my God. I mean, Randy Johnson was tall. Was Randy... Okay, Steve, you're a baseball fan in New York. Was Randy Johnson 6'9"? Because I know he was a big fella. Yeah. Well, thank you, Suman. Thank you very kindly for that. Hopefully, $17.50 will come in, if for nothing but to assuage your grief. Grief. That's what we're assuaging. Yes. So thank you, Suman, and hopefully somebody will jump right in with that $17.50, and between $35, $55, and that would get us down to $530 between the two challenges. Would get us down to $530, and we would have actually $70 of Monday fully funded. Thank you. Thank you, Suman. I need to find time to get into understand cricket. Dadgummit, it sounds downright emotional. Actually, says Steve in New York, I'm going back to the military and the cancer-causing masks. And oh, he is a titanic intellect, that Mo Brooks, Les Brains. Actually, says Steve, I'm paying for the military's health care, so if the commander-in-chief, who happens to be the one we put in the White House to represent us, orders them to take their medicine, they need to line up and do it. Hear, hear. Hear, hear. Aha! Good gravy. Randy Johnson was 6'10". So there's kind of a baseball analog there, Suman. I thought he was a tall drink of water. All right, Ron. Ron, responding to Suman, says, what is he talking about? Talk about indecipherable. Cricket cannot be explained to anyone that didn't grow up with it. And yes, the big unit was 6'9", 6'10", and that's why they called him the big unit. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean I wouldn't like to try. You know, getting to a point of vague understanding of cricket. Liberty? Lee in New York says, does it sing each dawn using its unmasked faces and consuming lungs? You better believe it, because freedom. Oh, God. And this guy's probably got the inside track to be the Republican nominee for Senate in Alabama, which means he's got the inside track to becoming the junior senator. I mean, what a murderer's row of stupid that would be. The senior senator is Tommy the Tuber, and as junior senator, Mo Brooks, Les Brains. That's painful to contemplate. It really, really is. Okay, what's going on here? Hey, you hear that? Hear what, Robin? Precisely. There is a new piece of technology in the studio, courtesy of Brother Deacon Asa. There will be no more keyboard clacking in the studio. Because yesterday arrived a package also with some fantastic spices that I intend to use to season some ribs. See, Jeremy? Ha-ha! I didn't say rub ribs. But I'm gonna season some ribs up, and they should be fantastically fiery. Some Togarishi spice, some peri-peri spice, and some harissa, Moroccan harissa. I tasted the harissa. It is delightfully, delightfully fiery. Yay! Good things have happened. Thank you to Jude in the Great Northwest, and thank you to Texas Tea. Suman's challenge has been met. So has Joey and Giraffe's. And we are now down to, wait a minute. 5:15. So, Jude and Texas T met the two challenges, and we're $215 from being fully funded for Monday. And Brian jumped in on the 1750 challenge. So now we're down below, wait a minute, 250? Wait a minute. We're now down to $497.50. Oh, dear God, we've got odd cents. Well, I mean, 50 cents, but yeah. But, yeah, $497.50. So we're $197.50 away from fully funded for Monday, which is freaking awesome. Thanks, all of y'all. Thank you, Jude. Thank you, Texas T, and thank you to Brian. Thank you, all three of you, very kindly indeed. Let's see here. And that, and yes, and okay. So we're good. You get an A-, says Steve in New York, for using the active voice and saying you're going to season the ribs and that they won't miraculously get seasoned. Steve, if you haven't noticed, is on a jihad against the passive voice in the English language. I think I did all that in active voice, didn't I? I wonder, says Darlene in Connecticut, if Mo Brooks, Less Brains gets campaign dollars from Big Tobacco. And Megyn Kelly has stepped in it once again, re Naomi Osaka and her SI swimsuit cover that was shot a year ago. Why does Megyn hate black people so much? Why is Megyn threatened by black women? Will Sirius FM shit can her? Prob's not. Yeah, I wish you weren't right, but well, they brought her on knowing that she says shitty, miserable, racist crap, and that's what they expect her to do. I mean, she kind of had to dig deep to find even that really a year old swimsuit cup. Well, even though Meghan McCain is leaving The View, we've still got a different nutmeg to loathe and despise. Because the goddess of irony takes care of her own. Let's see. Yes, that would even make things even, and that would get us down to 490, Ralphs. Thank you. A doctor called into Randy Rhodes' show, Earther tells me, with some concern comment about the vaccine. So Randy asked him what kind of doctor he was. He answered, chiropractor. And she answered, so you're not a medical doctor. Right. Precisely. And Jeremy pointing out, yeah, but you did just say rub ribs. And upon reading this, you've now said rub ribs 3 times on this show. at least it's not Beetlejuice. Why does Megyn Kelly hate black people so much? The answer, Stephen New York tells us, is because she's a racist. Well, Occam's razor shaves again. All things being equal, the simplest answer is most often the correct one. Megyn Kelly. Of course Jesus Christ was white. There's no such thing as black Santa. I know. That was a wonderful little challenge, Suman. Thank you very kindly. Wait, says Earther. The passive voice is being attacked by Steve. Is America also being hated by him? Hey, you guys are freaking awesome. Matt in San Francisco, subject line, Megyn. Over 56 years, I've never met a Megyn I've liked. Well, we've got one Megyn we like. There has to be an exception to every rule. Our Megyn is fierce and lovable. So, please make a note of it, Matt. Okay, so we are past the top of the hour, almost to the halfway point. And let's take a quick break and see what Brad and Desi have for us. Shall we? Do let's. And meanwhile, if you'd like to be part of the conversation, well, we can do that too. And I've got somebody on the stress line, and we'll go there right after the Green News Report.
It's Tuesday, July 20, 2021.
In one of the world's wealthiest nations, advanced infrastructure was no match for Mother Nature.
Catastrophic floods in Germany show nowhere is safe from our worsening climate emergency. Parts of Amazon rainforest now emit more CO2 than it absorbs. Plus,
the NASA study predicts flooding will sometimes occur in clusters lasting a month or longer in the 2030s.
High tide flooding hit a record in the U.S. last year. NASA warns it's going to get much, much worse.
All of that moon wobbling and more straight ahead from BradBlog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
California is in the grip of a drought, and that's causing Sacramento's drinking water to taste like dirt. But one city official assured residents it might not taste great, but it's still safe to drink. And was immediately sued for copyright infringement by Michelob Ultra.
This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, boy howdy, you are right. Nowhere is safe What an horrific sight we all saw in Germany last week.
Yes, it was. As we go to air, nearly 200 are confirmed dead in catastrophic flooding in Germany, Belgium, and the Netherlands as rescuers search for hundreds that are still listed as missing. Days of torrential rain triggered wildly destructive flash floods that swept away buildings, destroyed communications and transportation, and displaced thousands. German officials say the historic floods far exceeded the conditions that their flood control systems were designed for, and exposed flaws and gaps in the country's emergency alert systems. The disaster hit just days after the European Union announced its ambitious roadmap to cut carbon emissions that cause dangerous man-made climate change, and the floods have pushed climate action to the front of national elections to replace retiring Chancellor Angela Merkel.
Good.
The influence of man-made climate change in this specific event will take time to determine, but the floods are just the latest in a wave of extreme weather disasters around the world, including record heat and forest fires in Russian Siberia, and Canada and the U.S. West grappling with historic drought and record-smashing high temperatures that cooked fruit on trees. In the U.S., fire crews are battling more than 70 major fires. Oregon's Bootleg Fire, the largest in the U.S. so far this year, has burned more than 530 square miles and is so hot that it is disrupting the atmosphere. In California, utility giant Pacific Gas and Electric announced that its aging equipment may have sparked the Dixie Fire.
May? Are those people still in business?
Experts say the wave of extreme disasters shows that even the world's richest nations are not prepared for cascading consequences of climate change, underscoring the need for governments to move quickly on adaptation projects to build infrastructure resilience against intensifying extreme weather disasters, even as they also cut greenhouse gas emissions. Here's Penn State University climate scientist Dr. Michael Mann in an interview with Democracy Now.
The fact that we're in both of these countries right now are witnessing the devastating impacts of climate change really drove home the point that we have to act now. Dangerous climate change is here. Catastrophic climate change is here. And at this point, it's a matter of how bad we're willing to let it get.
Oh, I fear we are willing to let it get much, much worse.
Well, those consequences are arriving earlier than predicted. New research published in the journal Nature shows that parts of the Amazon rainforest in South America now emit more carbon dioxide than they absorb, primarily caused by deforestation, fires, and global warming.
Let me repeat that. They now emit more carbon than they absorb. The Amazon used to be our carbon sink. It would keep us safe. It would suck up all the carbon. Now it's putting off more than it is taking in.
NOAA announced that sunny day flooding, or routine flooding at high tide, hit a record along U.S. coasts over the last year due to rising sea levels. And NASA, in a new first-of-its-kind study, warned that a natural shift in the moon's orbit around the Earth, combined with rising sea levels, will cause high tide flooding to jump 5 to 10-fold in the mid-2030s, hitting some areas near daily.
Now, of course, that would happen whether there was climate change on Earth or not. This is just making it all much worse, correct?
Yes. But there is some good news.
Good.
The nation of Greenland has suspended all oil exploration because of climate change, with its environmental minister explaining, quote, "The future does not lie in oil. The future belongs to renewable energy, and in that respect, we have much more to gain."
Nice.
Finally, in that Democracy Now! Interview, Dr. Mann says there is hope in taking action.
There is still time. Don't let the doomers convince you it's too late to do anything about climate change. That leads us down the same path of inaction as outright denial. And the forces of inaction would love nothing more than for environmental progressives to remain on the sidelines because they're convinced it's too late to do anything. It isn't too late, but we have to act, and we have to act now.
Oh, it's too late. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find, follow, and share us planet-wide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
And it's too
So here we are, pretty much at the halfway point of the program. Correction, I made a mistake here. No, the Sports Illustrated issue is coming out now, Darlene says. It was just shot a year ago, which is significant because Megan attacked Naomi Osaka, claiming she's a hypocrite for claiming she has mental illness and doesn't want to deal with the press, yet she's on the cover of SI. Naomi Osaka pointed out that this was shot a year ago, before she began running into mental health issues that led her to withdraw from the French Open a few months back. Don't worry. Megan got lambasted all over social media, and Prissy White Bitch didn't like that and withdrew her post, all the while bemoaning that Naomi blocked her. Naomi's just not going to allow Megan Kelly to bully her. God, there is no end to the prissy delicacy of white fragility, is there? And by the way, clarifying what I suspected, Suan says, yes, hallelujah, the batter protects the wickets and scores runs. I've taught you a bit of cricket. Yay. $35 on its way. Ask Ron and Raleigh to call me. I'll be happy to explain this wonderful game to him over a couple of cold beers. Well, and thus has the gauntlet been thrown down. We're just creating problems for Ron this evening. What in the hell, may I ask, is wrong with rub? It describes the seasoning combination and the technique with which it is applied. I think if you ask competitive grillers, they would say it's a rub. Yes, but we have a deeply and delightfully dirty-minded contingent of the Horn Family Community Congregation here, especially when it has to do with something that I have said. You know, after all, there's naked radio going on even as we speak. Yeah. Greg, meanwhile, says, one small step for Jeff Hef Bozos, one gigantic step for huge ugly cock. Yes, Greg, yes. Oh, 1,000 times yes, abso-damn-lutely. Let's run over to the stress line and see who we've got. Hey, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Lab.
Bye, Jim. Waited all that time just to be told goodbye. Oh, well, let's keep rolling. What else do we have this? Remember Michael Flynn? Michael Flynn was busted, ultimately, for what? Failing to register as a foreign agent. Now, never mind the fact that he's been pardoned, he was still stone cold busted for that. Apparently, there were a bunch of unregistered foreign agents there in the Trump maladministration. Tom Barrack, B-A-R-R-A-C-K. Well, he had a big role in the inauguration there. You know, the one where they couldn't get any celebrities. But it also turns out he was an unregistered lobbyist for the United Arab Emirates. And now he is indicted. He was charged today with illegal foreign lobbying on behalf of the UAE. Mm-hmm. And prosecutors in Brooklyn said it was an effort to influence the foreign policy positions of both the 2016 Trump presidential campaign and the subsequent incoming administration. How about that? 7-count indictment, acting as an agent of the UAE between April 2016 and April 2018. And along the way, they also nailed him for obstruction of justice and making false statements to federal law enforcement agents. This was the chairman of Trump's inaugural committee. Mm-hmm. Now, understand that foreign governments would look at someone like that and say, hey, he's obviously got some influence with the incoming president. Let's pay him some money to see if we can get a break. Right. Because it was one long grift. The entire Trump maladministration was just a long-running criminal enterprise. And Tom Barrack, and two other cronies were charged today. They, Matthew Grimes of Aspen, Colorado, and Rashid Sultan Rashid Al-Malik Al-Shahi of the UAE. And they were charged with having advanced the interests of and providing intelligence to the United Arab Emirates while simultaneously failing to notify the Attorney General that their actions were taken at the direction of senior UAE officials. Well, do we have any friends over there that aren't just sleazy and skeevy and shit? Honest to God. And they were due to be arraigned, Barrack, this afternoon in L.A. They haven't caught up yet with Rashid Sultan Rashid Al-Malik Al-Shahi. He's apparently on the lam. Don't. A spokescreep for Mr. Barrack said, Mr. Barrack has made himself voluntarily available to investigators from the outset. He is not guilty and will be pleading not guilty. Yeah. He was very proud of what he did, Tom Barrack. Mm-hmm. He put language praising the UAE into a campaign speech about energy policy. And then he sent it off to, he sent the advanced draft of the speech off to Mr. Al-Shahi for his approval. Jesus. Writing to Al-Shahi, Tom Barrack said, I nailed it for the home team. Curious, this guy's an American citizen, but he referred to the UAE as the home team. He had a separate phone for his secure communications with senior officials of the United Arab Emirates. You know, another one of those partners in peace. Ugh. This would be a good time to remember the words, the warning of George Washington. Avoid foreign entanglements. Gee, I wonder if he'll get 8 months in federal prison, too. And just as was mentioned, by the way, just as was mentioned on the program last night, the eight-month sentence for the guy who attacked constitutional governance on January 6th did not go without being noticed by one Tommy Chong. He put up something, I think, on Instagram or just saying, I got 9 months for selling bongs. And, of course, he was prosecuted by Crisco John Ashcroft, the man who was terrified of calico cats and spent taxpayer money to put clothing across the naked titty of that slut lady justice at the Justice Department. Mm-hmm. God, these evangelicals. Oh, my God. It's Brother Bishop Steve. Hey, Steve.
Robin, what's shaking, ma'am?
I don't know, Steve. What's happening with you?
Oh, man, got off to a rough start this morning, my friend. No. 7 o'clock, 7 a.m.
Right there, Washington Journal.
No, even worse. If you can believe that. I live on a private road, dirt road. There's a subdivision, a lot of houses back here. My phone starts blowing up. I got three pissed off ladies because there's a tree going across the private road, and they can't get out and go to work. And I'm like, what the fuck am I, Paul Bunyan?
You're the president of the homeowners association, aren't you? Yeah.
Yeah. So anyhow, you know what I did, Bob.
You called the guy.
I called the guy, of course.
He can be taught.
Yep. Yes. The first go-to guy, he was kind of angry with me because we had a fallout over COVID disagreement. So you always got to make sure you got a backup guy. So I just wanted to throw that out there as well.
Oh, so that would be call the other guy.
Yes. Yes. When you have your guys that are prioritized for each task that you need done, just make sure you have a backup guy so you're not stuck, you know. The last thing you need is, you know, three pissed off ladies screaming at you because they can't get to work.
That would ruin your day.
Yeah, I didn't even get to listen to Washington Journal, which may be a good thing.
You may actually have come out better on that than you think.
But the reason I called, I'll be brief. You and I have been gooning on commercials since, I don't know what, years now.
Eons.
Eons, yeah. It started with Gordo the dog rubbing his smelly ass all over the couch. That was an air freshener commercial. Remember that one?
Yep.
How could you forget? And then it went to Farmer's Dog and the high quality poops. I mean, but I've got a new one for you, brother.
Oh, no.
The main reason I called. I couldn't believe this when I seen it. And I said, Karen, did I see that right? We had a DVR and we actually backed it up. Yep, we seen it right. It's actually called FemiClear. Featuring the, ready for this, singing hoo-ha.
Really?
Ta-da! Yes.
There's a vocal vagina in a commercial now?
Yes. Yes, it's called FemiClear. I am not lying. It's not vocal. But they're in this Pilates class or this workout room or there's something where there's a mat. And every time they do an exercise, which requires a woman to exercise her legs or open them, this opera singer starts singing.
Sweet mystery of life, at last I found you. Straight out of Young Frankenstein.
It's some kind of ointment that's treatment for genital herpes and yeast infections, but that's what we evolved to now, singing hoo-ha commercials. So I said, I've got to call Robin. She's not going to believe this. And it's online. You can Google it, FemiClear. You can watch it for yourself.
I mean, these things are necessary. And you know, at least I don't know, you know, point.
I'm not gooning on the product. It's the marketing, you know, who sat around the table and thought, okay, well, let's do this. You know, can't you just see the marketing meeting?
Oh, I know. Yeah.
This has never been done. Singing hoo-ha. Let's try. Let's throw it at. Let's float this.
Oh, we're the girls of the chorus. We hope you like our show. We know you're
But Nick, when you see that, you'll think of me.
Oh, I absolutely will.
Heard it first. You heard it
and,
first.
And, you know, in the midst of all the COVID vaccine stuff, I did notice that Frank has gone away.
Yes.
Or maybe they just decided to quit pitching that quite so much.
The marketing guys, it's not Darren Stevens anymore, you know?
No, it's not even Mad Men.
Not even Mad Men. But, yeah, just that's basically all I wanted. I'll bounce and get out of the way so you could take on some other callers. I just wanted to throw that one by you.
No, it's awful good to hear from you, and I'm glad you got through your morning crisis. And
yeah,
I'm glad you didn't take the family chainsaw out and decide to do it yourself.
I've got an electric one. I don't think I had a cord long enough, so that would have been.
Yeah, I can just say, Karen.
But she was one of the ladies screaming at me.
Oh, wait, Karen was one of the three pissed off ladies.
Yeah.
Hell yes, call the other guy and the other call other the guy. Don't quit dialing until you achieve
That's
success.
Right. Until you cross the wires, man.
She can make your life a living hell.
Oh man. Tell me about it. I got to live with her.
Easy. There will be a recording of this.
Yeah, she does catch the podcast, too. So she knows that I'm madly in love with her. So there's that.
Oh, and wait. We've got a reminder here for you from Brother John. Don't forget kitty poop. Oh yeah, that's out there too now.
Oh, which one is that? I'm sure I've seen it. Is that the one with the freshener that forms into balls or something?
Yeah.
About cat litter that it's evolved. Space age cat litter. Call 1-800. Can't smell it. And if you act right now. Jesus.
But yeah, it changed the color changing rainbow unicorn cat litter. Mail order.
Right. Yeah. Who's going to stand in line for that?
Well, what color's the kitty litter today? Oh, it's got polka dots.
Oh, yeah.
No, honey, those aren't polka dots.
Oh, yeah. Each color can represent an actual affliction for your beloved cat, too.
Yes.
Science. Ain't it a blast?
It's all idiocracy. Remember the scene in the beginning of Idiocracy? Thanks to medical science, we'll be able to completely rebuild his genitalia, and he'll go on to have many more children.
Mike Judge is on record saying he never thought he was going to be a prophet when he was making that movie.
He just thought he was making a silly science fiction movie?
Right.
Yeah, I don't, they can say that. I don't believe it. He had to know. He had to know.
You think he's a visionary then?
Well,
everything in that movie has come to fruition.
Or a nightmare dystopian prophet. Water from the toilet?
That's gross. That's disgusting. They were watering the plants with the Gatorade.
Don't worry, Scro.
It's got electrolytes.
Randy Radar says, "Oh no, you spilled red wine and mustard and barbecue sauce and chocolate sauce in your white carpet. Boy, are you a klutz. Why did you buy, why did you buy white carpet? How dumb, please."
But there's a miracle product that will, you spray it on there, and if you call right now, they'll throw in a free one.
Well, I don't know what's in it, but I found out recently, because it wasn't something the washing machine would handle, apparently Dairy Queen chocolate milkshake does not exit clothing under any set of circumstance. I think that stain would stay, and it's one of my favorite Muscle Shoals t-shirts.
And is that like red dye number 3 and Kool-Aid? You can't get rid of it.
No, it's there forever. And it just broke my little heart. But it ain't coming out. It's just there.
Oh, man. Did you try the dry cleaners? Sometimes they got some tricks up their sleeves.
You know, given the cost of dry cleaning a screen-printed T-shirt just seemed like it was not a good financial choice.
Yeah.
I remember way back, I remember when Rush Limbaugh, who, by the way, Steve, in case you didn't know, is still dead.
He's still dead.
I remember when
pragmatism.
There was a company called Carmona Stain Relief or something, little yellow bottles, and I think they were all the same thing. It was all just dirt detergent. But he pitched those for a while, and, well, because he was pitching them, we know by. Stain Devils. Carmona Stain Devils. That's what it was. Yeah, I quit drinking Snapple because they advertised on the Pigman's program.
Right. Yeah, he was peddling that. I remember. All right, Cletus. All right, Bob. Well, I got to go. Keep your hoo-ha happy and it'll sing, my friend.
Well, still working on that, but never mind. A little too much detail for naked radio on a hot July evening.
Love you, friend. Take care,
love you,
man.
Steve. Be good. Bye.
All right, bye, man.
The one and only Brother Bishop Steve, who called the other guy in Georgia Stan. Hey, Tracy, what's happening?
Hey, how you doing?
Fine as frog's hair.
So I really don't have much to say. I sitting here waiting for the airport to go pink and actually kind of taking a break for a moment, but just wanted to check in. You know, I know yesterday was Moran Monday, but I have a whole set of more. That's why I was calling you. I had a whole set of Morans on Sunday, and yeah.
Well,
so I guess I have to tell you about
that. But hold on before we get into that. You just, you know, you said something, and it just breezed by kind of like, you know, a hillbilly like me would just know. Did you say waiting for the airport to go pink?
Yes. Yes. So how this works is everybody, each cabs have a certain airport day. So like yesterday was my airport day. So that's, I'm a C cab. So the cabs ending in 3 and 4 are C cabs. So, you know, people who have brains know that today is D cabs. So that's cabs, you know, cabs ending in 5 and 7. But each cab has a pink day, which means my next pink day, your pink day is 2 days before your actual airport day. So today is Tuesday. So it's going pink for Thursday's cabs, which is, I think, whatever that letter it is. My brain doesn't work that fast. But anyhow, what's happening, though, but it's been so busy. So they have two levels of pink. They have pink for the actual pink cab day, which is cab. So that's D, so soon, today. No, yeah, D, so that means it's
hold on, this is more complicated. Yeah. This is more complicated than cricket.
Right. So, okay, so today is D cab. So the pink for, so the cabs for pink today are A cabs, because the cabs are A through E. So it's cabs that end in 0 and 1. So they're all lining up. But because it's been so busy, they have what they call all pink, which means if you are a cab in the area, you can pull into the airport for a certain amount of time and work the airport. And so since yesterday was my airport day, it might turn pink. I'm just sitting here anyway because it's quiet. I got my air conditioner on, and it's like 20 degrees cooler at LAX than it is in the Valley. That part.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And I don't have to worry about Jan working my nerves and asking me to do shit like as soon as I walk in the door.
Well, I'm glad they chose pink, personally.
I know you are. I know you are. But yeah, and I'm wondering, with this being, you know, taxi driving is, if not, you know, that is definitely a male-dominated profession. So now I got to find, now that you said that, I didn't even think about it. How the hell did they come up with pink, you know, the airport going pink? You know?
Kind of makes you wonder.
Kind of makes me wonder why, you know, what was going on. But they said, you know what? Going pink. We'll let people go. Come into the airport if it's a pink, your pink day. So conversely, like, so my next pink day, okay, so my actual airport day is Saturday. So my actual pink day is Thursday. Yeah, Thursday. So I might head home, but I just, you know, it's just kind of nice. I was listening to the music and all that stuff and listening to, you know, I know. What asshole Trump supporter owns Sirius so I could be mad and just keep listening to music?
Got it. Got to be. Well, I mean, it's broadcast media, so it's got to be owned by some jerk.
Right.
For-profit commercial,
but anyway.
Broadcasting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but anyway, so my Moran story. So I was at I went to AutoZone Sunday because I had bought some stuff for my engine for fuel injection cleaner, and the stupid bottle opened up. The seal opened up or what have you. So I went in to take it back, and they were really cool because, thank God, I'm just happy that it was still in the bag, because if it hadn't been in the bag, it would have been all over my car. But anyhow, I'm waiting for them to go get me some more bottles, and this white, I think now I can smell Trumpers. Because they walked in, it was two women, a white guy, a man, and a kid, right? Nobody has on a mask. And as of Saturday, everybody knows that in California, we're back to having to wear masks indoors. Okay? So typically I don't engage with people because, like a friend of mine said, my level of sarcasm is equal to your level of stupidity or something like that. So I wasn't going to say anything, Bob, but it was, Robin, you know, it was irking the fuck out of me. So
all over you like ants.
Mm-hmm. It's like, so I said, girl, where is your mask? You know, I didn't do, you know, yelling at, you know, and doing the, you know, the liberal elite, you know, way they say that we, you know, talk to people and stuff like that. And she's like, oh my gosh, yes, I left it. I forgot it in my car. And I wanted to say, bitch, you did not forget it in your car because it was all four of you. Nobody had on the mask. So this was intentional. It was intentional to walk into AutoZone without a mask. And she's like, She's like, well, I did have COVID and I'm like, wait a minute. You had COVID and you're walking around without a mask on? She's like, well, I got vaccinated. I said, have you not been listening? And again, I'm trying not to, you know, sound like I am all knowing. Trying so hard. And I pulled it off. I really did. I said, well, sweetie, you do know about the Delta variant and that, you know, people who are dying and people are still getting are still getting sick, even with them getting, you know, a vaccination and stuff like that. So your best line of defense is, you know, just wear a mask, right? And she's like, well, you know, I'm one of those people who believe that people should be able to do whatever they want to do. And I'm like, oh, so not only is she an idiot, she's a libertarian fucktard.
Well, I mean, aren't they the same thing?
Yeah, like you said, what did you say? A libertarian is just a Republican who smokes grass, right?
A Republican who wants to smoke dope, sure.
Yeah, that wants to smoke dope. And so I just looked at her and I said, well, you know, I believe that to a certain extent, too. If you're, you know, do what you want as long as it doesn't hurt anybody, I said, but the problem is you not wearing a mask is hurting other people. You not wearing, I said, because I said, if you don't think of anybody else, think of yourself. Think of your kid. Because he looked like he was probably about 8 years old, so he's not old enough to get the vaccination yet. And I'm like, you know, I said, look, everybody has their right to do what they want, you know, consenting adults and all this, what's not and what's so, you know, so ever, half and ever. If what you're doing in your name of liberty and freedom could cost me and somebody and my wife, who is a senior citizen, their lives or makes them get sick, then don't you think that's problematic? And she's like, and she looked at me like, it was almost like something, a light bulb went off. And she's like, yeah, I guess you're right. I'm like,
holy cow, you mean you got a win on it?
I got a win. I actually got a win.
I'm stunned.
I'm still like, fuck, wow, that part. And I because I'm just like, look, it's a piece of cloth. You know, and like I said, people can do what they want to do and all that good stuff. You know, be yourself, be who you want to be, blah, blah, freaking blah. However, if what you're doing could cost me and somebody else their lives or, you know, your child their lives or make them so, because what I told her, I said, you got, you know, now that even though you're fine, you got over COVID or whatever, your immune system is compromised. Did you think about that? You don't have the same immune system that you had before COVID. And obviously your immune system wasn't strong enough to keep you from getting COVID. So you're putting yourself at risk. And I said, I don't know if this is your little boy, but how would you feel if, you know, you got sick again and something, and then you didn't have anybody to take care of him. because you didn't wear a mask.
Well, you have been awarded a cowbell courtesy of Stephen New York. Hello? Tracy got a win. If that doesn't get a cowbell, then we must ban the bell. Well, we will not ban the bell. And what you said earlier about, it's not Moran Monday anymore. Well, truth be told, said Steve, in fairness to Tracy, Moran Monday often bleeds into Titanic Intellect and Titanic Tuesday, so I think she qualifies for a special dispensation. Absolutely, right.
There's Morans have this, there's something happening every hour on the hour, every second, actually.
Morans on the 20s.
Morans on the 20s, right, or they're on the 5s.
Yeah, Morans on the 5s. Let's go to Fred in the Moran copter. Well, I want to ask you about a Moran. Tell me about, because I read about this, and I was like, what the? Tell me about this this Titanic Intellect, the sheriff of L.A. County. What the hell?
Oh, Villanova.
Yeah, Villanueva?
Villanueva, yeah. We are beyond. I felt like Malcolm X is somewhere saying, you were hoodwinked, bamboozled. We didn't land on Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock landed on us. Jesus fucking Christ. What happened?
Just so people know, dude has announced he will not enforce the L.A. mask ordinance.
County. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He will not enforce it.
Because freedom.
He got the vote, the liberal and progressive vote in L.A. County. Do you know how hard it is?
That's hoodwinked.
I mean, I feel dirty because I voted for the motherfucker. I feel used. I feel like, I should wake up in the morning and the money's on the coffee table. On the nightstand.
Yeah, you wake up sticky, broken, confused.
Mm-hmm. It's like, wait, what happened? What just happened? Yeah, it's just we're stunned. We are absolutely stunned out here, and so now we have to figure out who we're going to run against them, because he's up for re-election next year.
Jesus,
and we still got it. So not only are they going after. Now, there should be a fucking recall. How about that? Now, they're trying to recall Gaston, okay? Because, I don't believe in the death penalty. I actually believe that only guilty people should go to jail, right?
Yeah.
And so now they're trying to get rid of him. They're giving him a vote of no confidence. So, they're trying to get rid of Gaston. And they're trying to, because they want Jackie Lacey back. Because what is she, mixed fiddle. She has LAPD and LA County Sheriff's Department so far up her twat. Yeah, ooh. I said twat.
I'm new at this.
Even know how the bitch can walk. I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. That bitch has never prosecuted a police officer for a police shooting. Never. And she's another one. All of us in LA, we were so excited. Oh, a black woman DA. So we're thinking, justice. Shit.
Nope.
Yeah, nope.
Well, Billable Rick said, please tell Tracy I also voted for Villanueva as LA County Sheriff. Law enforcement candidates are all shit weasels.
That part.
But the thing is, you don't get, that's not a call you get to make.
Mm-mm.
He is sworn to uphold the law, not determine what the law is. He's actually, you know what would be funny? If a bunch of people filed filed complaints against him with the California bar saying that he's practicing law without a license.
Well, a license. Actually, that would not be a terrible idea.
Because that's the province of the DA. That's the province of the court system. But it is not the province of the sheriff to determine what the law is. I mean, I don't know how many times
that part.
I don't know how many times I've heard cops say, "Well, you know, I'm not crazy about the pot laws either, but you need to take that up with the legislature because I just enforce the laws. I don't make them." Well, he's making law.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, can you recall? I know you got an election coming up, but can you recall him before you have to vote on him?
Well, like I said, they're talking about if they're going to try to recall, or I think they are recalling Newsom, and they're talking about doing the same for Gascon. So why the fuck not? Gascon is a L.A. County DA. So if they can go after the L.A. County DA, why the fuck can we go after the motherfucking sheriff?
Makes sense. I mean, how many people does he want to die? I mean, what's, just out of curiosity, do you know offhand, Tracy, what is L.A. County's vaccination rate?
Actually, let's see. Because I get notification. Let's see, L.A. County. Vaccination rate. Oh, I love Google. It looks like as of today, we have fully vaccinated, 465,046. So that's at a rate of fully vaccinated at 51.8% and at least one dose. That's 25,041,270 at 63.4%, and that's with at least one dose in LA County as of today. As of July 19th. So we're at 51.8% fully vaccinated and 63.4%, as of the 19th. Yeah, because today's the 20th. Oh, yeah, that's right. Tomorrow's my birthday. So as of the 9th, as of yesterday.
Happy birthday to you.
Double nickels, baby! So 63.4%. That's at least has one dose.
Well, that's 30%.
That's not bad.
That's 30% more than Alabama, and I'll bet you there's more people in L.A. County than there are in Alabama.
That part. There's more people on the 40 that's trying to get from the 101 to the and the 405 interchange. So yeah, it's just when I've heard that, because I think you're the one that told me, then I read it and I'm like, oh, because I had to go online to see how when we voted for him. So he was elected in 2018. So he's up for re-election next year. So if there's any, so with the one person that really needs to be recalled is him. And I don't even want to say his name.
What a schmuck.
Asshole schmuck. Great mind.
Yeah, no kidding.
What a fucking schmuck.
Well,
what a moron.
I got another Titanic intellect for you. Because, you know, we started out the program talking about Jeff Bezos. And it's funny. He had to go into space himself to figure out that the Earth is a fragile planet. What? Yeah, so now he has declared. We need to take all heavy industry, all polluting industry, and move it into space and keep Earth as this beautiful gem of a planet that it is. Well, who's going to work the heavy industry? I guess he's going to send them to space, too. Or maybe it's going to be done by robots. He did say it'll take decades and decades to do this. But how in the hell is he going to mine rare earth elements in the vacuum of space? He doesn't even understand. He doesn't even understand the nature of the problem.
Nope. He does not.
Yeah, in his press conference after.
He is fucking clueless.
You know, You when you go into space, you see how tiny and fragile Earth really is. Well, hell, for the money he spent, all he had to do was Google Carl Sagan pale blue dot, and you know, you're there.
That part. What?
I mean, that wasn't me.
No. What I'm saying is. I mean, what they were just saying is there's a trip going to Costa Mesa and Willowbrook. And I know everybody's going to try to bid on it, but why not? I mean, that's about that's a $150 trip. That's a lot of money. And Mama got to, because, you know, so now Mama's thinking about going. Did I tell you that I'm thinking about going to Colorado?
No.
So what had happened was, I, you know, Caesars, Caesar Palace or whatever, Caesars Entertainment, they have, they met with, what is it, they merged with this company, this other casino and hotel outfit called Eldorado Resorts. And so now they've expanded. So they have casinos in Colorado, Mississippi. Well, they already had them in Mississippi and Louisiana, but now they have two more. New hotels in Reno, new hotel, well, not new, you know, but, you know, part of the Caesars family now, and blah, blah, blah. So anyway, Jan was talking about how she wanted to go to Denver. She's always wanted to go to Denver. Why? I don't know. But if my wife wants to go to Denver, who am I to question it? And so
Yeah, I'm not judging, but Jan's a smoker, right?
She can't. Hell yeah, she's a smoker.
She's gonna.
Why
love.
Do they not? Do they allow?
No. She's just.
They allow smoking in Denver.
No, she's just gonna love Denver because there's no air there. I mean, I'm overstating.
Because it's so high.
Yeah,
the air.
It's kind of thin. I mean, I'll never forget back in my smoking days when I was at, like, you know what, 11,000 feet at. Snowbird.
She's
going to
have problems breathing, isn't she?
Yes.
Isn't she going to have problems breathing?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I remember.
I want her. Did I really want to go to Denver? Because maybe going to Denver and not being able to fucking breathe because you goddamn smoke cigarettes will convince a happy white ass to stop smoking. I'm sorry, was I yelling?
A little bit.
So yeah,
but I hate to break it to you. It won't.
I know it won't. I know because it didn't stop you from smoking, right?
No. I was standing outside. It was May. It was like May the 22nd, and I had just had the plane ride from hell. Flight got canceled in Charleston. Had to wait. Instead of flying Charleston to Atlanta and Atlanta to Salt Lake City, I wound up flying Charleston to Atlanta, Atlanta to New York, New York to Salt Lake City. Got to Salt Lake City at 1 in the morning instead of 1 in the afternoon. And, you know, because I couldn't smoke on the plane or anything, I was a total wreck. We got up to the hotel. I'm standing there outside the hotel, lit up a Camel Wide Blue, and I noticed the damn thing wouldn't stay lit. And then I noticed that I couldn't get it. I felt like I couldn't drink enough water. I'd never been to an altitude like that before. And
that's crazy. Go ahead.
And the cigarette, you know, this it took 15 minutes to smoke a 5-minute cigarette. And then it was like, didn't slow me down. But I did, I just like, you know, what the fuck? And felt stupid and lightheaded. Well, you know, some people would say that's just my default position, but maybe it'll blow her mind a little bit when she goes out for a cigarette and lights up and the damn thing, you know, burns for a half an hour.
Well, it's crazy because how you were saying you never drank so much water in your life. I sounded like I said white life, but I did not mean to say that. I meant to say entire white life. Okay. But so I picked up this lady yesterday. Like I said, yesterday was my airport day. And she was going to the west side, you know, Cheviot Hills, which is not far from the airport, you know. But she had just landed from Denver, and she had just come in from Denver. And she was saying how she has never drank so much water in her life and never peed.
Yeah. Yeah, that.
And she's I've drinking water.
Didn't drink a drop of beer, nothing while I was there. Just water. Couldn't get enough.
Yeah, no. I was like, so there's two hotels. There's the Isle Hotel, and there's the Lady Luck. And, of course, you know, I get comped to go to these hotels. But I was checking airfare out of curiosity just to see. $157 round trip.
What?
To Denver. That part. What? Right. I should have just bought the ticket right then and there and just said, you know what? We're going. Which I'm going to do anyway, because that's how I am. I'm just going to buy the tickets and just tell her, like 2 weeks before, make sure you have these days off. We're going to Denver.
Well, that's just wonderful.
I've been to Denver. It was years ago, but I haven't been since.
For some reason,
but it was beautiful.
I'm thinking of a song. Warren Zevon fans will know immediately what I'm thinking of. He's got a song.
Warren to the who to the what?
Warren Zevon, you know, Werewolves of London. Yeah, Werewolves.
I never knew the person's name. Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
He's an acquired taste, but yeah. No, he's got a song called "Things to Do in Denver When You're Dead."
Yes, yes. But no, I saw there was a movie, "Things to Do in Denver When You're Dead." I think I saw that movie. Wasn't it in the 80s or something?
Not sure. Maybe I'm the wrong one. I thought that was a Warren Zevon song.
I don't know. Who am I to question? And I'm pretty sure somebody is listening going, no, you're both wrong.
Okay, so it is a movie, 1995. You're absolutely right. Andy Garcia is in it.
Yes, yes. And I love me some Andy Garcia. Speaking of good-looking men, so trip this. So yesterday, I get a call, and I get there, and they're not there. So I'm like, okay, fuck it. I was going to start going home because I wasn't far from home. And then my idiot light popped on for air pressure for my tires. So I'm like, oh. So I go to Firestone so they can check my air pressure. And tire pressure, rather. And so the guy's like, okay, so he put air on my tires. But then he said, you need four tires so you can get away with the two front ones. And I'm like, okay. And so I said, well, how long would that take? He said about an hour and a half. And I said, is that including the, you know, installing the tires and alignment? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, okay. And this one I was about to, because I have an account with Firestone. And this one I was about to say, let's do this.
it dawned on me, I don't own the cab, and I needed to call the owner to see if he, you know, typically anything that I get done, he'll pay me back. But when you're talking like $400, I'm like, yeah, no. So I called him, and he's like, no, take it to such and such a shop. I'm like, okay. So, and I was on my way to, as I was backing out of my parking space, one of the finest black men I have ever seen. This man was the color of burnt copper. Or burnt, no, what's that word? What is that color that, you know, with the sepia? Sepia.
Yes.
Oh my God. And he had green eyes. Holy shit. This man was beautiful. He walks up to my cab. And I'm like, okay, Tracy, remember you're a lesbian. What's wrong with you? I'm just kidding. And so he walks up to my cab and says, how much to LAX? And I'm like, from here about 60. He's like, okay, cool. Because he had ordered an Uber because he had dropped his car off at Firestone and was waiting for an Uber to take him to the airport. And it never showed. They kept saying, you know, 10 minutes, then 20, then 30. And I'm like, what are the odds that I, you know, I'm in at Firestone with a black man in Encino walks up to a black woman driver's cab and needing a ride to LAX. But there's the wait. There's more. So. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
So he gets in the cab. Well, I meet him around in the back of Firestone where his car is, and he loads up his luggage, and I'm like, okay, what airline? He says, United, and I'm like, okay, and where are you headed to? And he's like, Mexico. I'm like, oh, cool, you're going on vacation? He's like, no. Are you ready? Wait for it. He's a dive instructor.
Whoa.
A diving instructor. A black man. Diving instructor. But wait! Not only is he a diving instructor, he's a ski instructor too.
No, now you're making shit up.
No, I'm not. I will send you. He took pictures of his business cards, and I will send you the picture of his business cards. I said, okay, bruh, you got to be real with me. Tell me this. What happened? What is the reaction of the gray folk or the melanin challenge when you walk up and they realize that you're their instructor? On either one. I mean, the diving and the skiing, he's like, it's comedy because they don't know what to do. he's like, he gets a lot of blank stares.
Dude, you've been out in the sun too long.
You've been out in the sun with your lungs, dude. He's like the best one. You know, when you're doing diving, you know, you really can't hide being black. I mean, unless you're in the full, well, he does scuba, so you could really. But he's like, he loves it when he's skiing because he has on the goggles and the full, you know, face covering and gloves, kind of like Cleavon Little in Blazing Saddles. Where are the white women at?
Where are the white women? Yeah.
When he takes off the hood. Look, it rolls off. They couldn't make that movie now. They couldn't make that movie now. People would be so offended. But that's the genius of Mel Brooks. But anyway, he's like the best reaction.
The genius of Mel Brooks and Richard Pryor.
And Richard Pryor. How dare I? I'm about to get bitch slapped by Richard. The ghost of Richard Pryor. I'm like, bitch, what? You're giving props to the white man and leaving me out? Oh, sis, really? I hear it. So he's like, the best reaction is when he's skiing and he comes down the slope to meet his student, you know, his new student. He takes off his helmet and his goggles and they're like, it's a Negro.
Said the sheriff's near.
Sheriff, no, the sheriff isn't. Oh, he's saying the sheriff is near.
Mom, Dad, got it.
That there is some authentic frontier gibberish. I love the fact that you know it.
I mean, I saw Blazing Saddles at the movie, okay? Man. Not only did I see Blazing Saddles at the movie, I saw it at Grauman's Chinese. So that scene when they're going into Grauman's Chinese.
Yes!
I saw it there! Because back then it was Grauman's Chinese. I don't know what it's called now. I think it's TCL. Chinese. But anyway, so I was dying. We were both laughing. I said, you know what that just makes me think of? And it's so the crazy, the irony and stuff. Remember you and I were talking about Tuskegee Airmen and that scene when Malcolm Jamal Warner and Lawrence Fishburne started having plane trouble. And they land in, they're landing their planes on a road in Mississippi, and it's some brothers, you know, working a chain gang. And as the planes are landing, the overseer is saying, move out the way. Our boys are landing. Our boys are landing. Give them room, right? And they get out of those planes, and it's two brothers. The look on the white man's, or those white men's faces were like, what the fuck is this? But the best look, Bob, the best look was the brothers on that chain gang looking at these black men who were pilots. And that right there, you know, about my thesis about representation matters. Yep. Can you imagine how they felt? Could you imagine the pride? You know, it was, you could see tears welling up in their eyes because here they are being, you know, doing, you know, work that and not getting paid for it, you know, for some petty bullshit crime, if anything, because of the, you know, because of the part in the 13th Amendment that says you are free unless you commit a crime. And that's the beginning of the prison industrial complex in the United States.
Hey, we found a loophole. Of course, you can't talk about mm-hmm. that because that's critical race theory, Tracy.
That's critical race theory. There, Bob. Mm-hmm. Robin, it's critical race theory. So I'm like, you know, again, the things that, you know, because I needed some black excellence the other night, and it was 1 o'clock in the morning, and I couldn't sleep, so I decided to watch Tuskegee Airmen. And as I'm watching it, it clicked. I'm like, I immediately Googled the Tuskegee experiment. And I'm like, holy shit. The Tuskegee experiment had been going on for 9 years because it started in 1932. And in 1941, that's when they founding of the Tuskegee Airmen. So for 9 years, they were experimenting on black men. And by then, they had found that penicillin cured syphilis. But they did nothing. They did not give the men the simple shot that probably at that time cost a nickel. Because they wanted to study the effects of untreated syphilis on black men. Because, you know, black bodies are different. We have this. Our diseases are different.
Oh, wow, yeah.
We don't... Yeah. Well, it's like we don't feel pain either because our pain, we have a higher level of pain as evidenced with, what's that asshole, the doctor, the father of gynecology
yes.
that experimented on enslaved women to get, you know, for things so, you know, white women wouldn't suffer. So, yeah, so that's why when black people go to the doctor. First of all, it's like what you talk about being a hillbilly. If we're talking about we're in pain, they give us Tylenol or they lower our dosages.
Pray.
Or we get nothing.
Keep praying. Keep praying.
Keep praying.
Pray that pain away.
I promise you. I promise you, when I had my brain surgery, oh, my God, Bob, I was in so much pain. And nothing they gave me any relief. And I'm like, something ain't right. Something is not right. Fucking morphine? Dilaudid? Demerol? Nothing. No relief. And I...
Percocet? Anybody?
Nothing. Nothing. So I really believe that they didn't give me the dosage that I should have gotten because black. Because, you know, like I said, we have a higher tolerance for pain, so we don't need the same level of drugs that, you know, white women or white men get. But it just, you know, because Tuskegee Airmen, that movie I think was made in 95, and then Miss Evers Boys was made in 97. So I saw both of those movies respectively when they first came out on HBO. But when I saw them, I was not an Africana studies major. And when I saw them, now I knew that, every black person in America, no matter how old they are, they know about the Tuskegee, the Tuskegee experiments. Or better yet, as the Tuskegee crimes against humanity. But if you ask anybody who the Tuskegee Airmen are or were, I had never heard of them, Robin, until I saw the movie.
Well, Joey noted in his journal today, the commemoration of the 54th Massachusetts Volunteer Infantry that nobody really remembered until the movie Glory came out.
Glory. I never heard of them until the movie Glory came out. See, they love to advertise and talk about the injustices done to us, you know, as a tale of caution or what have you. Just don't let that happen again. But they, you know, the erasure of black history is some real shit.
Yeah, it is.
It is. I mean, it is just, you know, like, you know, we talked about the Summer of Soul. How in the world do you not know that they had and it wasn't just that one year. By 69, that was the third annual Summer of Soul. And yet nobody heard of it. You know, I talk about, you know, for years when I was in school, they actually clock. There's actual study on how black children at what grade that they stop, not so much that they kind of lose interest in school, or they stop being, you know, encouraged. It's about like the third or fourth grade, you know, because they talk about, it was a movie a documentary that I watched for my gender and women's studies class about the misogyny and stuff in the sciences, and how, you know, they talk about sexual harassment or what have you. Everybody automatically thinks of, you know, unwanted, you know, passes and assault and stuff like that. But it does happen. Don't get it wrong. However, that's, you know, that's just the tip of the iceberg. What's beneath the surface is that shit that's insidious, like not getting credit for your work or not being included in emails about meetings or that have pertaining to your work, or and it's even fewer black women, like there's the sister that was on there who actually is a LA native. I think she teaches in Texas now. She's like, you know, getting, you know, being mistaken for the janitor or somebody following her, like, what are you doing here? She's in her office. And it's like, you know, how, who are you? Why are you in this office? You know, or, you know, or, and then this is in both cases, but even more so for Black women, having the idea, saying the idea. Nobody listens until the white boy says it. Then all of a sudden, oh, that's a great idea. What the fuck? Because, not because he had the idea, but he repeated exactly what she said. But yet and still, he gets the credit. He gets the notion, the mention and whatnot and so forth and so forever.
Sure.
So they were, you know, the you know, so when you talk about, so it's just crazy how I had a point and I forgot what the fuck I was talking about. But anyway, about representation and, you know, and how, you know, representation matters, because the sister was talking about how, cause she's, I think she's about my age, and she was talking, and that's what it was about, when it stops, when Black kids stop getting encouraged about, you know, they like, I want to be a scientist. I want to be this. I want to be that. And then at about the fourth or fifth grade.
Same thing happens with girls. Same thing happens with girls generally.
Yeah. But then it is compounded when you're a Black girl.
Yeah. That's the double, or, that's the double whammy.
The double whammy. So, you know, so you're not encouraged. Or it's, you know, you stop thinking about, or even like, you know, little kids saying, I want to be president of the United States. But then by third or fourth grade, they don't want that anymore because they don't see any encouragement or anything like that. They're gearing us up, especially the young Black men, the young Black boys, for the preschool to prison pipeline. That's what we're good for. You know? So, yeah. So, that's just, you know, that's just like, so how you doing? How's everything? Did I hear Steve from Georgia Stan talk about a singing vagina?
Yes, apparently.
In a
commercial for a women's product, yes.
Okay. Mine doesn't sing.
I don't expect to.
And I promise you, when you get yours, you might sing about it, but you won't. It won't sing on its own.
Yeah, it ain't gonna sing back.
No. Guess what I did today? I did something that I have never, ever, ever done before.
Is there singing involved?
God, no. Because I sang, so no. I mean, I don't sing, but you know, I have, you know, I do karaoke or what have you. But so I was at my P.O. box, pick up my mail, and this person walks in. And at first, I thought it was a guy, but it was a female. But there was something about her. She was like the color of milk chocolate, slim. She had it. Because she had her baseball cap on with her locks hanging out the back. She had tattoos on her neck.
That is such a cute look.
It is. Holy shit, that is such a cute look. And I said something that I've never, like I said, I don't usually compliment people or stuff like that, but there was just something about her, and I said, I just have to say, you're sexy as hell. And she smiled. I have never in my life said this to a woman, to another woman, but I said, you are sexy as hell. And she smiled and she said, I said, and I just want to make sure before I keep talking, are those your pronouns, or is that how you identify? She's like, no. I do identify as a woman, but she said, well, you're beautiful too. And I'm like, oh, thank you. Never in my life, Robin.
I know. I had one of those moments today.
Did you really? Yes. This.
The Tuesdays are shot day. And
okay.
And by the time
for your hormone.
Yeah, and by the time I get to Tuesday, I am so ready. Because they're like down.
Okay.
They're down in the ditch, and it's like, ugh. And then you know I just perk up after I get my shot, so I'm on. And I was like seriously bummed out because I walked in because my doctor's nurse just does it for me just because she's kind. And I walked in and I said, "Oh no, she's on vacation." And I was like, "No,
no, no."
Pretty please, is there another nurse around here who can? They say, "Oh yeah, we'll be sure. Don't worry, don't cry." Because about ready to. And so, I got my shot.
Hormones are a bitch, aren't they?
Well, not having them is. This is the awesomest drug I've ever done in my life. And so on the way out, one of the ladies behind the counter said, "See you next Tuesday, Miss Robin."
Oh.
Oh. I mean the angelic chorus, it was just beautiful. Just, you know, having folks get it right. And then later today, a really sweet lady at a place I go for, you know, quick snack, things like that. She said, "I just wanted to," everybody else had walked out of the, and she was the only one at the counter. She said, I just wanted you to know, if I screw up and misgender you, I don't mean to. And she went on and said a number of other sweet things. And I said, you know, I said, "No, that's wonderful." Because I walked in the door and she gave me a big "Hey, girl, hey."
"Hey, girl, hey."
Yeah, it was. And so, you know, it was like, no.
Did she say it as good as I do, though? Because
No.
Okay.
You own that.
Okay.
But
well, as long as I own it, because I don't want any mess. I don't want to come over. I don't want to come to West Virginia with an attitude.
No, not going to do that. But she said, okay. and I explained to her, I said, you know, it's all about good faith. I said, I misgender myself. And I said, you know, you can tell the people that are being assholes with the dudes and the bros and the mans and the,
you're right.
Yeah. You know, if you do it innocuously, it's one thing. If you kind of, I mean, you can hear the emphasis put on it. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's when you know. But it was just sweet and it was wonderful. And you know, these have been some of the most exquisite days of my life. And I'm busier and running more than I've ever done before, and I'm trying to do more things to make my life better. And some of it gets exhausting, and some of it's sad, but on balance, the vast majority of it is just unspeakably
fantastic.
Happy.
Fun-fucking-tastic.
Yeah, I mean, you know, everything doesn't just get better. I mean, the things that make you crazy in life continue to make you crazy, and always will. And the things that make you want to eat dirt and run rabbits keep making you want to eat dirt and run rabbits, but you just eat dirt and run rabbits a little bit more authentically. A little bit more authentically. And so,
that part.
Yeah. And I got a video to send you. I don't think everybody would want to see it, but I got a video because I know you're interested in the process.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really cleverly done video about what to expect out of surgery, and it's not it amazes me that how many people are fascinated with what's going to go on there. I'll send that along. It's really, really well done. You know, there's nothing graphic, and parts of it are just fucking funny. And parts of it are terrifying.
things like, this will be the worst pain you have ever experienced in your entire life. But there's a happy, but there's a happy ending. So, yeah. And
we're not talking happy ending at the end of a massage, right?
Not quite. No, 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 no. I'm afraid not.
Sorry.
But I will. I'll send that along to you because I think you'll.
Please do. Please do. I'd appreciate it. I'd appreciate it. So how's everything else? Well, 20 minutes. Oh, thank you. I got the.
It's good. I let myself down. I didn't get the post written about the horn in yet. It seems like my whole life is persons from Porlock. You know, it's always, every time I said, you know, I'm going to do this thing now. I was like, no, you're not going to do that thing now. You're going to do the other thing now. Because it feels like it's almost impossible to compartmentalize my world. Get to things. Just try to, knock a thing out here, knock a thing out there, and, eventually I'll get deep into the list, but, and
I just got the picture.
Well, it's a video, but the opening picture is hilarious.
No, the thumbnail with the eggplant.
And eggplant pointing toward a papaya that has been cut open.
Oh, Jesus.
And the whole thing's like that. And the woman who does it is brilliant, and she documented her entire process, and it's so helpful and so educational for me. So,
it's those things that you need,
Yeah,
I feel so privileged that, that you have included me. And, and trusted me with your transition that, because like I said, I know a lot of trans women or people have already, they've already been, living a life as a woman and stuff like that. But I've never known anybody who is, they're personally starting their journey. And I feel blessed to be a part of it. Because again, you are so dear to me.
It is a ride. But it just, it's almost impossible to express how damn good it feels to be. And that, that's not to say that there's, no conflict, no stress or anything, but it all affects me differently now. It's kind of like what I said early on, a lifetime of panic disorder disappeared with the first dose. A lifetime of anxiety, first dose, just gone. And I can, I can hold my head up and go anywhere in this community and not get any hell. I mean, frankly, the biggest hurdle continues to be the restroom. And I guess it will be for the foreseeable future. There are a few places I know that I'm safe, and a lot of places where, kind of got to worry.
Mm-hmm. And my state
is run by a Republican majority who, if they could just make me disappear, it would make them feel so much happier. So much more filled with the joy of life for me not to have one. Life, that is.
Right. Because you're such a threat.
And that's what makes me so thoroughly despise Republicans. Because they're awful. And they do awful things to people. Oh, and you were talking, and earlier in the evening, Darlene was talking about Naomi Osaka and the swimsuit and the Sports Illustrated cover that caused Megyn Kelly to have such a damn conniption. Well, there's something else. Oh, Megyn Kelly attacked her, and how dare she appear on the cover of Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition when, she said she doesn't want to deal with the media. And Megyn Kelly then got absolutely eaten alive, good, because, you know, Megyn Kelly's just a racist. Yeah. I wonder if she'd say this. I wonder if she'd say the same thing about a white trans girl. Probably, because trans girl. But there's somebody else in the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition. And her name is, let me see if I can find it real quick. Okay, so it's not there. Maybe it's here. Yeah. Lena Bloom. And she is drop dead gorgeous. And she also happens to be a brown woman. And she is the Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Issue's first transgender swimsuit model.
No.
Yep. And she's one of the... And she is one of the cover girls.
Yes!
Here, let's see.
I'm still high off the fact that MJ Rodriguez finally got her Emmy nod. I'm still high on that one.
Yeah, have a look. Send her. I just sent her to you.
Okay. Let's see. Open. Okay, I have four bars at the front, man. Holy wow!
Yeah, I told you.
There's no way.
And see,
no way.
And see, a woman like that scares the cis population half to death.
Yes, because
the cis het population.
Cisgender male, right?
Yeah. Because, you know, if they...
Because, heaven forbid, they might get they'll be attracted to her and find out that she was once, you know, born a boy. Oh, my God! That means I'm gay. No, dummy.
No, that means...
It just means you're attracted to a beautiful woman.
That means, that means you've got an inappropriate case of the hots for a woman that would not even appear in the same zip code with you.
That part.
Right.
Dumbass. You know, I have no patience for stupidity.
Just remember, Republicans in places like Alabama and Arkansas want her to use the men's room.
They say, what? What are they doing?
I said, you know, you take a beautiful woman like that, and, you know, Republicans in Alabama, Arkansas, Kentucky, Tennessee, Mississippi, et cetera, they want her, Lena Bloom, they want to force her to use the men's room.
Yeah.
Right. Because some bureaucrat once upon a time put M on her birth certificate. You know, by the same token, mine has that too, still does. But it also says that at the time I was, 26 inches long and weighed 7 pounds. A lot changes over the course of life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do the Republicans in Alabama think I still need to be 27 inches long and weigh, 7 pounds?
Exactly.
I mean, my parents were alive when that birth certificate was generated. They're not anymore.
Well, remember, my birth certificate says Negro.
Ooh.
How about that?
Mm-hmm.
How about them apples?
And by the way, my newborn photo, I'm giving a gang sign.
What?
No shit.
What's the gang sign?
My parents were scared to death I had some sort of birth anomaly or something, because I'm holding up that hand and I've got my ring finger, my middle finger crossed over my ring finger, giving gang sign.
They didn't even know. Yeah, nobody knew what it. Yeah. But it's like, yeah, I'm there. Should have known something was up.
Mm-hmm. Should have known. They should have known. You know, but sometimes it just takes people a minute.
Yeah, I know. Let's see. Cynthia wants to see, Cynthia wants to see Lena Bloom. So.
That is just, fuck, man. I should be so lucky to look that good.
Oh, I know. That ain't never going to happen for me. Girl can dream.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yes, they can.
Yeah. So, I guess.
And it's like when they put trans women in men's jail. And, you know, right. and it's just a matter, they're doing it to be cruel.
Yeah,
they know what's going to happen to them.
They do it for the sadistic joy of it. Because they know what will happen to her. So I happened to be at the DMV today, and I was going to change my gender marker. I've got a letter that says she needs to change her gender marker. Nope. Mm-mm. I have to take the specific form and have the specific form filled out by my health care provider up in Vienna, West Virginia, 2 hours away, and then I have to return it to the DMV, at which point they will take a horrible photograph of me that I will regret for the rest of my life.
Yeah. That's usually the case.
And, yeah.
That, you know.
I reserve the right to go in there with a full face of makeup on. You better believe I am. Because at this point, no, I mean, all kidding aside, at this point in time, I'm afraid to get pulled over. Because I've still got that driver's license with that guy on it. And that is dangerous to my health. So, you know.
It is.
Because you never know when... Get out of the car, bud.
Hit us fucking hard, man.
Get out of the car, man. Sir. Get out of the car, sir. How's that going?
Nothing should be that hard.
Yeah. But it is.
It is. It is.
And again, just a reminder, I have to go all the way through surgery to get my gender marker changed on my Alabama birth certificate. Don't have to do that in California.
No, you do not. Have you applied? Have you gotten your real ID yet?
No, I can't.
Not, you can't?
No, not in
time. That's right.
Yeah. So, you know, so I got the form, and I'm gonna shoot it up to my provider and get it filled out, but then they have to mail it back because I can't provide a copy. It's got to be the one with the, you know, you got to see where the ballpoint pen pressed into the paper to make sure that I'm not just funning and trying to do this so I can, you know, play off the ladies' tees at the goddamn country club. Jesus Christ. Big hitter, the Lama.
Or use the bumpers at the bowling alley so your ball won't go into the gutter.
Yeah, let's not talk about those right now.
Oh, wait. Are you saying that you're not a bowler?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. I'm not a bowler. My neck. I got these two discs in my neck, and now when I try to bowl, it hurts my neck.
Then you can't do that.
Right. Yeah, don't do that. Doctor, it hurts when I do this. Yeah, well, don't do that.
Don't do that.
You know, just to wrap things up, I think you'll dig this. We were talking. I said, you know, Jeff Bezos could have saved himself $1 billion or so.
$7 billion.
Yeah, he could have saved some coin if he just would have looked up Dr. Carl Sagan pale blue dot. Because it was 1994 when he showed the world this photo
On the way out of the solar system, Voyager turned around and took a picture of Earth. And Tracy, all it is the faintest, tiniest dot. It's just a dot. And back then, Carl Sagan said, look again at that dot. That's here. That's home. That's us. On it, everyone you love, everyone you know, everyone you ever heard of, every human being who ever was, lived out their lives. The aggregate of our joy and suffering, thousands of confident religions, ideologies, and economic doctrines, every hunter and forager, every hero and coward, every creator and destroyer of civilization, every king and peasant, every young couple in love, every mother and father, hopeful child, inventor and explorer, every teacher of morals, every corrupt politician, every superstar, every supreme leader, every saint and sinner in the history of our species lived there on a mote of dust suspended in a sunbeam. The earth is a very small stage in a vast cosmic arena. Think of the rivers of blood spilled by all those generals and emperors so that in glory and triumph they could become the momentary masters of a fraction of a dot.
They're trying to get people to go pick up these calls, and I'm not moving.
Think of the...
It is so annoying.
I know.
Go ahead, baby. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Think of the endless cruelties visited by the inhabitants of one corner of this pixel on the scarcely indistinguishable inhabitants of some other corner, how frequent their misunderstandings, how eager they are to kill one another, how fervent their hatreds, our posturings, our imagined self-importance, the delusion that we have some privileged position in the universe, are challenged by this pale point of light. Our planet is a lonely speck in the great enveloping cosmic dark. In our obscurity, in all this vastness, there is no hint that help will come from elsewhere to save us from ourselves. The Earth is the only world known so far to harbor life. There's nowhere else, at least in the near future, to which our species could migrate. Visit? Yes. Settle? Not yet. Like it or not, for the moment, the Earth is where we make our stand. It has been said that astronomy is an humbling and character-building experience. There is perhaps no better demonstration of the folly of human conceits than this distant image of our tiny world. To me, it underscores our responsibility to deal more kindly with one another and to preserve and cherish the pale blue dot, the only home we've ever known. Jeff Bezos did not need to spend $7 billion.
He could have founded the horn until whatever.
He could have eliminated. You know how it's a joke now. It's become a joke. In fact, in that wonderful movie Miss Congeniality, Sandra Bullock. I love that movie.
Mm-hmm. I love that movie.
Where, you know, they have to, you know, what would you do to change it? And you have to say, world peace.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact, you know, end world hunger. Well, the fact of the matter is, Jeff Bezos' little masturbatory space shot today, doing something that's been done over and over and over and over
and
again.
Over and over again.
And demonstrated, discovered, disclosed, absolutely nothing. The money he spent on that could have ended world hunger. I mean, that kind of money does exist. There's a gentleman who's going to be on the program soon. He's been working for decades on the concept of land for homeless people. That little bit of Jeff Bezos masturbation could have eliminated homelessness in the United States pretty much forever.
Mm-hmm.
Forever. But instead, we get this. And I love space exploration. As I've said before, I'm a child of the space age. I was born after it began. It has been a presence in my life all along. And I love it. The thrill of the exploration. And this ain't that. This is just ego.
I have more money than God, so I can just, you know what, $7 billion fucking dollars. Jesus fucking. And because what I think what upsets us the most about this folly or whatever the hell you want to call it is the fact that he refuses to pay his employees. That much, how much money could, if he had said, you know what, I'm going to use that money to take care of the people that are making me rich.
Yeah, no.
How about that? Yeah. No.
And the thing is, okay, so Elon Musk's long-term goal is to go live on Mars, and I can't wait until he does.
Please do, and take Trump with you, and yeah. Mitch McConnell, and Ms. Lindsey Graham.
Yes, and your
senator.
Yeah, and go and live in your libertarian wonderland and whatever, and let us go to work on making this a better planet. But the thing is,
leave the money. What is it?
But with
leave the gun, take the cannoli.
Yeah, take all the cannolis, goddammit. We'll try to get along through life. You take the cannolis to Mars, and yeah. But with the thing that really gets under my skin the most, Tracy, is with Bezos and Richard Branson, the entirety of their purpose is to create space tourism to make more money.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
to make more money. It's not about, like you said, exploration and stuff like that. It's all about capitalism. There are going to be motherfuckers lining up left and right to be able to do this shit.
But what do you do when you get there? I mean, honest to God.
Right!
I'm of a certain age. I remember these things. I mean, Tang was mentioned earlier in the program, Tracy. But I remember these pasty sticks of stuff wrapped in foil that were sold in grocery stores as space food sticks. Do you remember those?
Uh-huh. Yes.
And the chocolate.
Remember, you're not that much older than me.
Yeah, and the chocolate ones were okay. They weren't great. The peanut butter ones were and the rest of them sucked. And so you're going to pay a few bajillion dollars to take a ride on a space cab, and I'm not putting down cabs, but that's what this is. That's what this is for all intents and purposes. This is a cab ride into space, because you sit back there, and the cab takes you to where you're going, and then takes you back home again.
Right.
And the only and you know, you're only out a couple of million bucks. And what did you do? Are they going
to
go to the international?
I got to float in on my ship.
Yeah, and they'll get. I don't know. Maybe they'll go
do that for a hell of a lot cheaper.
Maybe they'll go to the International Space Station and pick up a T-shirt that's in like Russian and English and Mandarin, or all the UN languages, and it'll be the translation of the same thing. My millionaire dad went into space, and all I got was
stupid T-shirt.
There. Or I don't know. Maybe Jeff Bezos will sit next to the tourist wearing an "I'm with stupid" T-shirt.
What did you say? What is this? What is it that PT was a PT Barnum? Don't Spartan up the chump.
No, that's W.C. Fields. Yeah. And all
W.C. Fields. Don't smarten up the chumps.
And you know, if you want to sign up for Elon Musk's Mars expedition and be one of his indentured servants for the cost of the ride, I mean, we've seen this movie mm-hmm. before, Tracy. I mean,
yes, we have.
How far is it from that to a Middle Passage to Mars?
Mm-hmm.
Because corporatism in space is only going to do what what profit-driven enterprises always do, and that is put the profits ahead of the people. And what happens if you land on Mars and it turns out that there's something about the Martian atmosphere, or just the Marscape? What if it turns out that there's some sort of dust mite that just experiences it and suddenly evolves into a beetle the size of a Volkswagen Beetle?
I mean, have you ever seen dust mites under a scanning electron microscope? Those are some scary little bastards.
They're some scary little bastards.
You know, did you know they got like fangs and claws and you know, and yeah. What if one of those the size of a city bus comes towards you? Because, you know, libertarianism in space. I feel like a real curmudgeon about this, but I'm not impressed. I'm not even a little bit. Oh, and by the way, Cynthia in the Bay Area has now seen Lena Bloom. Holy moly. Wow. Wow. Some people are just lucky that way. Oh, well, but how wonderful for her. Yay. Yeah. Right. See, going right where I was going, Randy Radar says, soon there will be enslaved space people. Don't do what the boss says. Out the airlock you go. Chilling, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's frightening. I'm cool. It's like you haven't watched Summer of Soul yet, right?
No.
This is so over that weekend with the when Apollo whatever 11. What was the first one that was
11.
Which one was Neil Armstrong?
11.
Yeah.
That's
the
like,
same weekend that Apollo 11 landed on the moon, and everybody, you know, they juxtaposed.
Whitey on the moon.
You know, white people reaction and the black people reaction to the because it was the same weekend to the moon landing, and the brother and so Red Fox, because you know all the black folks was like, well, that's all well and good, but there's still poverty here. And all this, I think they could have used the money better. And then they also talk about, and then they talk about, and so Red Fox, being Red Fox, says, they're like, you know, what do you think of this, Mr. Fox or whatever? And he's like, look, I'm going to stay here right with the Puerto Ricans and the black people because I look like there's going to be a lot more fun. Because Red Fox, you know.
Oh yeah.
So that, you know,
and see the whole reason this Bezos thing was planned for when it is, as Lee in New York points out, quoting Sagan on the anniversary of the first person on the moon. Thank you for quoting Dr. Sagan. I also think of Earthrise when Apollo 8 was in awe. Yeah, this is the anniversary.
This is the anniversary.
And so I was a little late getting to the air, Tracy, but you've helped me make up for what I missed because I had button problems because blonde. I thought I had all the audio settings.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I missed one.
Duh.
Yeah, I only missed the most important one that got the stream out. Yeah, so.
Oops.
Yeah.
Oops. Well, that's under the heading. Shit happens.
Yeah.
That's what it does. I'm so excited that tomorrow is my birthday.
Are you doing anything super, you know, like double plus good special?
Well, I think, tomorrow not so much, but the cool part is, so that with summer school, the kids only go to school Monday and Tuesday. And Thursday and Friday, so I get tomorrow off, and it just so happens to be my birthday. So Jan and I are going to do many some petty, and I get to take my car in to get new tires. But there's a restaurant that's really nice in Encino, and they have I haven't been there since COVID, but they supposedly have a very amazing, they have a new menu, and they have a crazy, amazing, thank you, amazing happy hour. And this restaurant's like right on the lake in Encino. And so I'm going to put on something really cute. And oh my God, I got to send you these pictures. I ordered a shit ton
of head wraps, and they are gorgeous.
Nice.
So if I put my hair up, you know, be all black girl regal magic, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah. And then, but Sunday, now that.
Sunday.
So we're going to go to brunch in the Marina House.
Ah.
And it's about, there's about 10 of us going.
Are you
going
to take the 10 to the 405?
No, not the 10, the 101, baby, because I live in the Valley, remember. Oh. So it's the 101 to the 405. Okay. To the 90.
How silly of me.
People, I cannot wait for the comments when people listen to the podcast tonight, or any of the comments from people listening right now going, what the entire fuck is going on?
Oh, that's just, that's only been going on for 18 years. So.
Right. And for Scott in San Diego, because I have I said that for you, baby. What the entire fuck? Because it tickles him to no end when I say what the entire fuck. Because it can't just be what the fuck. No.
All of it.
It has to be.
All of it.
What the entire fuck? Or if somebody really pisses me off, not just kiss my ass. No. Kiss my entire black ass. So, you know, there's no half-stepping on this.
Nope.
And you know what?
Not knowing that tomorrow is your birthday, Jude sent a little message along earlier when you were talking about your experience with, you know, getting a win today, and coupled with your experience that you talked about Friday, you know, angels walking among us. Jude says, even in the midst of your internal stand and being directed to reach out, Tracy, addressing the mandated mask issue, let me use your reference to grace here. Possibly the presence when you sense the woman had a light bulb go on, that's very cool in more ways than one. There's great power in these traveling companions when we're aware as they manifest in myriad presentations, some in short exchanges like today for you. Yeah, I think Jude's right. You know, it was more than just a win. You know, because
it was more than just a win.
It was grace.
Okay, so this is what we're going to do in honor, because I don't know if I'm going to be listening to the show tomorrow, but we're going to do...
If you are, I will be upset because you should be celebrating.
Well, I'm going to... Okay, so anyhow, I am going to do a double nickel, Tracy's double nickel birthday challenge.
Oh! That would be huge.
So that's a $55 challenge.
Mm-hmm.
That starts, you know, it can start tonight, but definitely to start the show off tomorrow.
Absolutely.
So, yes, it's the Tracy Michelle Porter double nickel birthday challenge.
Fantastic.
How about them apples?
You know, that's the way hobbits celebrate birthdays, by giving things to other people. That's wonderful. Thank you.
Not a problem, because now, and I know you got to go, but really quick, when I just said my full name, Tracy Michelle Porter, when I was little, learning my name, I used to say Tracy Miss Porter Shell.
Oh, how sweet.
So what's your name, baby? Tracy Miss Porter Shell? And you know, I said it with, you know, it was all... total authority. Yeah, and that's my name. Tracy must support the show. What's the problem? Why are you looking at me funny? That's my name, bitch. What?
It reminds me of something I read many, many years ago. It was one of those true stories in Reader's Digest or something like that. And it was about the immigrant experience. And it was just really sweet. And it speaks to the way that people experience culture. And so there was a little, you know, little girl, like, you know, 5-6 years old, a little Asian girl, and she was learning the Pledge of Allegiance. And you know how, with liberty and justice for all, right?
Right.
Well, she heard it through the cultural lens of her experience in her little life. And when it was her turn to recite it, when she got to that part, it was with little tea and just rice for all.
Hey, you know what, though? That would not be terrible. A little tea just rice for all. Just rice.
Kind of a, yeah, it's kind of a happy little world.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I you know, because I should have been Asian because of how much I could eat rice every single goddamn day.
Easy.
I know that's terrible, but I mean.
Yeah, in a good way, right?
In a good way. In a good way, because I love rice, and that's just, and so. You know, talk about carbs, but I love rice. I mean, mm-hmm. There were times when we didn't have any food, you know, anything for breakfast, really, but we had rice, so we would have, you know, eggs and rice, or rice with butter and sugar and milk, because we didn't have any cereal or whatever, and the eggs with rice, because we didn't have that many eggs, but we had rice, so we would stretch out the eggs and rice. So rice, you know.
You ever had rice with, you ever had rice with butter and maple syrup?
No.
Works.
Don't tell me about that. See, you're adding to the problem. You're adding to the fucking addiction. Thank you, Robin. Thank you. That's some bullshit. You know? I thought you were my girl.
You're going to try it now, aren't you?
I thought you were my homegirl. I thought we, you know, we were, you were my, you know, my ride or die bitch. But no, no, no. We are so silly together. Yeah. We would be we would be so dangerous together in person. I think there might be a few establishments that we might be asked to leave.
Mm-hmm. And we will find out. One of these days when I get out there, we will find out which ones they are.
Because I've always wanted that. I, you know, because I've always been really kind of prim and proper, really. Because, you know, as quiet as it's kept, Black people are very conservative, you know, and so, you know, very conservative. And so to have, if I ever did something that I would be asked to leave, it would just be, I would be mortified. Younger me, right? At this age, I don't give a fuck. So I would love, and as long as it's not, well, let me qualify that. As long as it's because of rockers, you know, and we're just being ridiculous and not because I'm Black and you're trans.
Right, exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, just too much.
There's no bigotry to this. It's just, okay, y'all,
I remember a story Guy James told me once about when he was, you know, he's a big strapping young fella, and he had a buddy who was a big strapping young fella, and when he was at The Ohio State University, there was a place that was all you can eat. And
oh, Lord.
And those two fellas went in there to the all you can eat, you know, and proceeded to eat a lot. You know, big old Midwestern farm boys. You know, and the manager finally came out and said, "You're done." And the guy looked at him and said, "I thought this was all you can eat." And he said, "It is, and you've had all you can eat. Get out."
That's why a lot of the all-you-can-eat buffets, if we ever get those again, they have time limits.
Ooh, I didn't know
that. You know, yeah. Out here, there's, if you know, depending on the size of your party or whatever, you have like up to two hours, whatever, depending, like, you know, if it's lunchtime or dinner.
No lingering.
No, it's your ass. Don't be taking, you know, eating and then taking breaks where you could eat more. No.
Which reminds me, because I love it. It's a chain, but it's a really nice one, and it's delicious. Have you ever? And there's an L.A. location. Have you ever been to Fogo de Chao?
Yes.
They have
a long time ago.
They have never run me out of that place. Guy and I used to go all the time.
Wandering sticks of meat.
Yes.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's just put that on the list of places to go.
Yeah.
But my battery, I've run my mouth so much that my Bluetooth is about to die. So I guess I should go. But anyway, loving your face, loving you, and all that good stuff.
Oh,
so,
and
you know,
and Mary Measure back. Let me know when you watch that video. Tell me what you think.
Oh, I'm looking so forward to it now. I mean, if I hadn't been talking to you, I would have watched it while we were on the phone. But yeah,
because I kind of watched.
I am definitely looking forward to it.
I'm doing what? Yeah. Right, Tracy. You have a good evening and have a safe trip home. You hear? And I hope I didn't get you in trouble with Jan.
God, no. Love you, and I will talk to you later.
All right, see you. Bye now.
Bye.
The one and only Tracy, and a delightful conversation. How delightful that was indeed. So here we are, and I made up for the time that I missed by screwing up the beginning of the program. Yay me. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to everybody who jumped in and helped take care of some of Monday's fundraising. Let's see. Tomorrow, the fundraising goal will be, for people listening overnight, if you'd like to take a bite out of it, the fundraising goal will be $785 tomorrow. Of course, if Tracy's double nickel challenge gets met, it will go down by $110 and be $675. So there's that doubling money's already out there, $55. Next 55 that come in get turned into twice as much. Your 5 becomes 10, etc. Thanks to anybody who does jump in on that. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Remember, brand new Fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is, of course, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. This would be a great time to reach out to your member of Congress and ask him to co-sponsor H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, the AIC Act. It means the world to Appalachia. And, of course, get your vaccine if you haven't already. Most of us, I think, already have. And encourage others around you who aren't vaccinated to get that way, because it's going to be slow sledding getting through all these variants if we don't get the vaccination rate up. And we can all help out a little bit in that way. Otherwise, use your first line of defenses. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Wear your gloves if you feel the necessity. And maintain your social distance. And wear your mask if you're around the unvaccinated. And for God's sakes, if somebody comes towards you saying, "We need to move all the heavy industry off of Earth, because I just figured out it's fragile, and it only cost me $7 billion. Avoid that dude like the plague, because he is. Later, y'all.